That was a super weak fucking Irashai, I gotta say.
Because, like, I started it out and, like, nobody was coming in after me.
No, you kind of brought it.
Yeah.
You did your part. Hiroko was okay. She fit the bill.
I was just normal.
I'm normal. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, this does not bode well for our other two potentially new cast members.
I know. Maybe we need to do a retake.
Let's start that again.
Okay.
One more time, guys. Like you mean it. Like, you sound off like you got a pair, all right, this time. Let's go. JJ?
All right, in 3, 2.
All right, that's more like it. And welcome to the 8-4 Play Podcast, the first, only, greatest, best, and last podcast. No, Karma. This is not the last podcast, but when all is said and done and the smoke clears,
yeah,
this will be the only podcast left talking about
only one standing
Japan and games and Japanese games.
Oh, okay.
Left standing there, along with the podcast, will be me, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald, your host for the festivities, probably somewhere around, maybe knocked down, maybe knocked unconscious even, but still alive, will be my right-hand man.
Because I sit on the right.
And you also are the only one that knows how to do all that podcast magic that makes it go up on the internet.
Yes.
JJ Stream Monster Epperson.
That's right. We did our Dark Souls, as we mentioned on our last podcast, did our Dark Souls naked stream. It was around 4.5 hours. We weren't naked.
So okay. Twitch. That was my question.
the characters we played as were naked.
Twitch TV.
We did it on Twitch TV. You can actually go.
The characters were naked?
Yeah. So they had a loincloth.
You explain what this means.
Yeah, please.
So basically, we start a character, and one of the classes that you can pick at the beginning of Dark Souls is a guy who has no clothes on. And
what's it called? What's the class name?
It's Deprived.
There you go, because that's a pretty awesome name.
Yeah. And he has a club.
So it's like wizard, you know, pyromancer, fighter, deprived. And it's just a naked dude with with a club and like a loincloth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to play the whole game without any armor.
But naked.
Naked and just a weapon and a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out, things were going great at the beginning.
You were live streaming on Twitch TV.
We were live streaming on Twitch TV.
From your home.
Yes.
And so who's we?
Me, Tony, who you will find out who he is in a minute, Johnny the Future, and
former intern Johnny the Future.
Yes, and Brendan, ex whoever, that guy, you know.
Never mention his name ever again. I don't know who you're talking about.
And I think it was just the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it on Twitch TV. You can go back to my channel, which I'll put in the show notes. And watch the archive.
It was kind of evolving, like, you know, as somebody new to streaming, there were some, you know, some learning process.
Yeah, there were a few hiccups. We got it all working pretty much at the last minute, which was great. But the first hour and a half started out really great and fun. We were like, oh yeah, we'll do this. We're invincible. We can do anything.
And it's easy. Yeah. I'm killing fucking zombies all over the place.
And then we're like, let's go to Blighttown.
Yeah.
And
let's do that.
And then we didn't have any poison resistance or anything.
And you refused to wear any armor.
Right. and we go down there and
Deprived just starts that way, right? You could throw on armor if you wanted to.
You could, yeah.
Right. Deprived.
But you guys didn't, right?
Their stats are like all even, basically.
Okay.
Like if you select any one of the different, like, you know, character class in the beginning, their stats are a little bit aimed towards like intelligence or armor or, like, you know, what is that, carrying capacity, that kind of thing. Deprived is just like total blank slate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Blank slate.
And so
you guys said, all right, we're just going to stick to the naked run.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we go down there and Johnny is doing a pretty good job against, what's her name? Kellogg.
Kellogg.
Yeah, I call it Kellogg.
The cereal.
Oh, okay.
Quilag.
Queen, yeah, okay.
And he does pretty good, and he dies, and we're like, oh, well, why don't we try again? And then, like, we slowly, like, start dying more and more and more, and we're like, well...
trying to fight her?
Yeah. And, I think we only did that once or twice.
Actually, I think we decided once, like, Johnny was fighting Quilag, yeah. And, like, we realized, Johnny, you're doing... very little
like, it was like
damage.
19 damage
yeah
for
like,
are you serious
yeah. Yeah
wait so when you say doing well her life bar was not affected but he was staying alive
he was doing well but he actually I think he got 25% or more yeah, yeah. off of her
that's not what I would call doing well
for doing 19 damage per hit
okay
yeah
yeah
and so anyways we
wait,
tried
your weapon you guys were not
we were using
sorting.
A club
you were sticking with the
club.
So,
because we didn't get anything else
yet.
Is
the idea here that you were going to go through the entire game without changing your weapon?
No. We were going to use a different weapon.
This is just that dumb decision that we made to go to Blighttown.
Okay. Exactly. All right. And then we were like, okay, let's get out of Blighttown. Let's do something to level up a little bit. But then like, about maybe 45 minutes of us trying to get out of Blighttown, we kept trying to get out, and we would get poisoned every time.
You're just trying to leave now.
We're just trying to leave.
Okay. Because you saved down there at that
right.
bonfire.
And we're, like, trying, and people on the stream are just like, oh, my God, what's wrong with you guys?
And what, then how, like, many killing
people,
you.
How many people were watching you?
I think about 60, 70 people.
Really?
And, it was this.
What kept killing you?
There's like one of those poison dart guys.
Those dart guys.
He was. There's one stationed by like one of the last ladders.
Well,
leading out to
Blighttown. Why didn't you go up the other way? Why didn't you go up the other way through the Valley of the Drakes and just run past?
Well, here's another thing too. It's like you have to run through that mud. The mud will poison you, and like the dart guy will like you know give you toxic.
And it's one hit. One hit. Because we're naked.
Right.
Well, right, you're naked, so running through the poison.
You've got poison and toxic status effects
Shit,
on you at the same time,
that.
So you're, like, losing twice the amount of life than normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, we have nothing to defend against, A, the poison, B, the toxic, or, like, you know, any type of item to help us get through the mud, because you run slower when you're going through the mud.
Yes.
So it's like, well,
yeah.
we've done and screwed
Basically,
ourselves.
Basically, at this point, we should start to wrap up the stream story, but at this point, you're, like, starting to question the whole... idea of the naked run.
No, not so much.
We went the wrong way.
We went the wrong way.
Okay.
So we restarted the character after like a really embarrassing death. We
restarted the whole character.
We restarted as a new character.
Wow.
And then we decided to do like a regular run. And then some other fucked up thing happened, which were kind of my fault. Like I caused Latrec to attack us and anyways.
Was that on accident?
You
accidentally attacked an NPC.
I wanted to kick him off, but I actually hit him.
Oh, you can kick him off?
Yeah, you can kick him off.
And then what happens?
And then you get the ring of life that gives you extra health and stuff. And
no
shit. Ring of favor and protection, I think
it
might be called.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We're playing in a Japanese, so sorry, I don't know any of the English names.
So wait, the ring that once you put on, you can't take it off
right.
or it breaks, but it's pretty badass?
Right.
Okay, if you kick him off...
You get it.
Really?
Yeah.
But he doesn't... But attacking him just pissed him off.
Yeah. I mean, you can kill him anyway and get the ring, but kicking him, he won't attack you back.
Got you. Okay.
But so that all happened and the stream ended.
I just wanted to see the Capra Demon. I was like,
oh, God.
I was checking in now and then. I'm like, all these guys talk a bunch of shit about, like, when I was having trouble with the Capra Demon, like, oh, no, man, you just got to run up the staircase. I was like, yeah, I know about the fucking staircase. Like,
right.
Don't talk to me about the staircase. It's not that easy.
Especially naked, it is not easy.
I'm sure naked, it's incredibly
and
tough.
But anyways, as like a status report, after the stream ended, I went back to the first character. I got us out of Blighttown.
Good for you.
And in the second character, I actually got back and like somehow Latrec bugged out and was back to his non-lethal state.
Okay.
And I kicked him off the thing and I got the ring.
Well, that's a happy ending to our 10-minute Dark Souls mini podcast.
However, this implies, however, that since the character still exists, are we doing this again?
Yes, we are doing this again.
How long was the last Ustream?
It was 4.5 hours.
Did it end up being that? Okay. Yeah. So when has the next one decided yet?
The next one's going to be early April. I haven't set a date yet,
okay.
But it will be early April.
All right. And until then, we'll hold off the Dark Souls talk. Sorry, you have to let us have that. We just...
Right.
Get into that thing.
Early April's like next podcast.
Yeah. It'll probably be after the next podcast. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, chiming in on the commentary there, as you might have heard, fellow Dark Souls streamer.
Yeah.
That is one of our two interns making his podcast debut.
Right.
This week in our very, very, very special episode.
Wait.
Yep, that was three varies. What?
Didn't this guy also, wasn't he on another podcast?
I produced the one with Greg.
Ah, right, yeah.
Oh, right.
Produced, but.
Oh, he wasn't on it?
Making his podcast debut.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Sorry.
Tony, a lemon fresh Lawassler?
That's fine.
All right. All right. Do you give us it officially, just so we know.
Well, I don't speak French, so, you know, every time, like, I have to say it, I just say it the way that I say it.
Yeah.
Which is Lawassler.
Okay.
But,
Lawassler. Yeah,
like, so I have a little bit of Z who, in there.
Yeah, but I have friends who speak French, because they are French, and they all like, kind of snicker and laugh.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, no, like this, Tony, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do that.
It is, so, how you say it?
Lawassler.
You do not have the essence, Tony. Oh, the essence of the name.
Now who's doing the
No!
I know. That's not I know an you're taking Jamie's role.
At all. Yeah. That sounds nothing like Pepe Le Pew. What's the worst version of it that you've ever heard? You have to have one stuck in your head.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Lois Elior?
I don't know. I mean, like, I've heard it, like, pronounced badly so many times. Just something I kind of tune out. It's just whenever I hear someone say my first name followed by a kind of like a pause. And then,
right.
Like, you know, you can't see this because it's great audio. They look down at like either a clipboard or a screen or something.
Right.
And they, you know, they bring it closer. Then
and then you just say the
farther away. And I'm just like, oh, right here, present.
Okay.
I'm right here. Hey, it's me.
Just call me Tony.
Yep.
So lemon fresh because, and maybe you hear it
as you're chomping down on your gummy bear on the podcast.
Our German listeners will know Haribo, Happy Cola, Lemon Fresh.
Do you guys not have Haribo in America?
We do.
We do. But it's especially popular in Germany.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's German from brand. Germany.
Yeah, I think
I
it
believe
is.
It is German.
So that general area, yes.
Somewhere there. This is, we're kind of trying to European up the podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
In agreement with the European Union and pending litigation.
Well, my
John is out of the podcast this week.
For what it's worth, that's our first step.
This bag of Haribo Happy Cola, Lemon Fresh Happy Cola, was manufactured in Austria.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I thought. Like, I was like, Austria, candy.
Close enough.
So.
Close enough.
They're about
so, thank you for bringing these. They're
yeah,
delicious.
They're really good.
You didn't know it, but they're kind of my favorite.
Oh, wonderful.
The normal colas are also very good. I want one of these, like, every five normal Haribo colas that I eat. One of these would be perfect. That's still, like, the perfect ratio to me.
Oh, the just perfect in case. Ratio for the lemon fresh?
Yeah, like, eating these are too much. Like, people who don't know, these are, like, the cola gummies, but it's coated in kind of the...
like the soda powder? What do you...
Sour.
Sour power?
Sour powder.
Sour powder.
So it's, kind of like, I drew the comparison to Sour Patch Kids.
And, yes.
And Mark was like, no, evil. Well,
Sour Patch Kids are like 10 times stronger.
Mm.
You have to give, you have to admit that. But it is kind of in that vein.
Yeah.
So.
They're refreshingly sour.
Mm.
Yes, refreshingly sour. Yeah. Also refreshingly sour is the other part of our European ninging up of the podcast.
European ninging.
That's right. That is Tom, always bet on black, Staniforth.
Charming.
Staniforth?
Staniforth.
Staniforth.
Yep.
Staniforth?
Staniforth.
What?
I
think you're pronouncing your name wrong. Yeah. I don't want to tell you how to pronounce your name or anything, but...
I've been saying it for a few years. So.
Well, we got a lot of complaints that apparently John and JJ sound alike.
Yeah, finally, really? We have a podcast where nobody sounds like me.
And now, so yeah, like I guess I just know you guys, but enough people said it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So,
burn it into your brains. This is what I sound like.
That was it. That's all we needed to hear. John was off the podcast.
Spring back to twang.
We started bringing in.
Well, I just talk like this.
So. Interns. So, definitely let us know. No pressure, guys, or anything, but everybody let us know what you think of these guys. We'll decide to have them back in the podcast or not.
So, sorry. Keep going.
Okay. Well, that's basically it. I'm pretty much joking on that. These guys are erstwhile interns. They do tons of awesome work for us. So we're happy to have them on the podcast. We're also happy to have on the podcast a rare treat. Hiroko 21 years young Minamoto.
You're still going to be talking
about
that.
Who celebrated her 21st birthday last week.
Yep. So everybody, I am 21.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For real.
For real.
It's not a joke.
Not a leap year thing.
Yeah. Like, I'm a president, but I'm 21.
You're like a Inafune. You started when you were like 13.
No, more like I started out in the industry when I was like 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm. Child prodigy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned before, not here, sadly, is because he's off in America in anticipation of GDC. A lot of stuff is going on for GDC people.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on. So one of those things is, yes, John is not here. John mm-hmm. Boobjob Ricciardi.
Dude.
Is not here.
Yeah. Thank God he's not here.
You guys have just been like, just... What do you call this action?
Hand-wringing.
Hand-wringing is when you're worried, but this is like in anticipation of like, oh yes, now we get to talk about...
Finally.
Yes. We get to talk about John's nickname this
week.
This
is the reason I'm on this podcast.
Right. John Ricciardi,
yes.
We were at lunch one day.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about boob jobs or plastic surgery.
We were talking about South Korea.
We were talking about
Korea. how many people get plastic surgery in South mm-hmm. Korea,
which is a lot of people.
Which is mm-hmm. a lot. It's a very high percentage comparatively to most countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic of boob jobs comes up, mm-hmm. and John goes, "Yeah, that's not plastic surgery." And we're
of course, all of us like staring at him, like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, it is the plastic surgery,
exactly.
And I'm sitting there. I'm like, John.
Okay, well, tell us what the reason.
Oh, because a boob job, quote, a boob job is a boob job.
No, that's not what he said.
I believe
I want to hear.
Okay, go ahead here.
What John said was that a boob job doesn't use plastic, so it's not plastic surgery.
Like sometimes, I don't want to compare John to my mom, but sometimes my mom says things like this. She's,
Your mom.
Yeah.
So wait, where did the conversation go from there?
And I just was like, "Hey, John, so what kind of surgeon does a boob job?" And he's like, "What? Like a plastic surgeon?" And I'm like, "Yes, exactly." Because he would not, you know, get down from this position where he was just like, "It's not plastic surgery," and I'm just like, "Yes."
And so then where did it go?
I think there was more. Tom, you were there,
the
right?
conversation literally ended with him just going, a boob job is a boob job, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And even saying well, a facelift doesn't use plastic. He was like, it's different, a boob job is a boob job.
Yeah.
Well, then again, John is also, he also doesn't believe that outpatient surgery, no matter how small it is not surgery.
Right. So. That was the other thing. That's outpatient surgery isn't surgery. Even though they cut into you, that's not surgery. That's
Did this come out of the boob job conversation?
I think it came out of
I forgot Brendan, what right? happened.
Brendan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough. Maybe bagging on John while he's not here to even defend himself.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Especially since he will be back.
It's indefensible.
Next episode, and I will not be.
Oh, that's true.
Because I will on. Post GDC plans of a mysterious sort, of a mysterious nature. So that's the podcast you don't have to worry about listening to. That's
is that the one?
We've scheduled the dip in the ratings. For me not to be there.
No pressure.
JJ will probably be hosting. Probably call in like GPD or some kind of like desperate measure.
We'll have even more interns on as well.
The most desperate of measures.
Get Dan on. And
I'll have my son.
Some other things.
Your son.
He can talk about the color yellow.
Okay.
And how he broke your Wii U controller.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
And how much he loves Mario.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Nice sound effect. So this is a little weird. We're breaking in here now.
A little bit.
Ideally, everyone listening to the podcast, except for John, is hearing this. We'll explain in a moment. But basically, GDC is this week. And we are going to send John a different version of the podcast because he always listens to the podcast.
Right.
But we want to have some fun at GDC since he decided to leave us the week before GDC.
Right.
Super crazy busy week. He's off partying, goofing off.
Yeah.
He's not, but anyway.
At the Jersey Shore.
So here's the story. Any of our listeners that are going to GDC, we want you to ice John Riccardi.
What does ice mean?
I'm glad you asked, JJ. Intern Dan, are you familiar with this term? Intern Dan is here as well.
Who's
not
yeah.
in the episode. We thought we'd get him in.
Hi.
Come towards the microphone.
Oh, hello. And
do you know what icing is?
Yeah.
Okay. Explain to the people like this with your nose like touching this thing. Explain what icing is to the nice people out there.
What I think it is you kind of surprise someone with a Smirnoff Ice,
a bottle
of Smirnoff Ice.
That's correct. With me, yep, you got so far.
And I don't know if you say anything like, oh, you've been iced or something.
I don't know either, but what I want people to say, and I want them to hashtag this after they do it, not before.
Right.
But I want them to hashtag ice to see you.
ice to see you,
John.
Nice.
Yes. And so you could also say that when you see him. So we will be in room, I think it's room 132. For a lot of GDC, for all of the Japanese sessions. But you might just see John walking around or whatever. And I will have 8-4 swag for anyone who successfully ices John. I have a little Monster Hunter 4 pouch.
Oh, nice.
I have some random. I have like a slime fan, like a hand fan. I've got a couple other like little random items. So, yeah. The other rule about icing is if the icee has a Smirnoff Ice as well, they kind of like reverse ice you.
Oh, right.
And you have to drink both of them. So it's important that nobody talked about this on Twitter.
Yes.
It's also, we're not 100% sure that John won't for some reason listen to the show again.
Right.
Once it goes out on the iTunes feed, but we're basically going to tell him there was some problem. We had to fix it. Can he listen to it? That's probably why the show went up a little later today than it usually
right.
does. So everybody keep it quiet. You could maybe obscurely, you know, have fun messaging him, but don't be obvious about it at all beforehand.
Right.
Like looking forward to seeing you at GDC or something. We don't want him to know that anything happened in the podcast for him to listen to this again.
Yes.
It's entirely possible he will. So just keep that in
right.
mind.
Knowing John.
Yeah. And Smirnoff Ice. I'll also accept Zima. If you can Zima John, that's actually even better.
You've been Zima'd.
Yes. Well, maybe something a little more clever than that. But I'll have some kind of special prize for anybody.
Right.
Even more special prize for anybody who Zima's John.
So again, just so everybody knows, yeah. Where are you guys going to be mostly?
So I believe it's room 132, but it's whatever room is decked out with the interpretation. Wherever any of the Japanese sessions are, that's where we're gonna be. We're gonna be walking around, we'll be at parties and stuff like that too, so
yeah.
Absolutely come by and say hi, but yes, please, somebody want to make this happen.
Yes.
Make my dream come true. Ice John Riccardi. Ice to see you, John. Hashtag live it, love it. Intern Dan. Yes.
I don't think we actually explained what happens when you give someone the Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, well, yeah, they have to drink it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just, hey.
They have to drink it right then.
Right.
They have to drink it right then and there. And that's why if they reverse ice you, I don't know what that's technically called. There's probably some kind of word for it. Maybe we should
de-iced.
Make one up. I don't know.
Double dog ice.
Yeah, double dog ice.
Getting a little better. yep, better than you got Zima'd, at least, maybe. But yeah, you also have to drink it right then and there.
Yeah.
And you have to get on your knees, right? Isn't that, I thought that was the thing.
I think
you have
you're thinking
to
of something else, Dan. I think you're thinking of something
else. No, I know. I think you have to get down on one knee and then.
No, you guys are like making shit up.
No.
I didn't look up the internet even the icing terms. I'm just kind of familiar with it. So this
right.
is maybe the 8-4 play version of icing
right
going on.
So room 132 or anywhere else you find us,
yeah,
grab a Smirnoff Ice or a Zima.
I want him to just have no idea, like,
yeah,
wait, what are you, who are you, and
yeah,
what is going on.
You
but
may,
if
don't
there,
even introduce yourself, just walk up and be like, you know.
Nice to see you, John.
Nice to see you, John.
And it should be like, are you John Riccardi? It should be like serving yeah. a subpoena where you like trick the person into it. It's like, oh, I think we look familiar. We met, right? Is John? And he's like, yeah, John Riccardi. Oh, nice to see you, John. Boom, right there. You've been served and witnessed. Boom.
Yeah.
Like that. So, all right. That's it for our little break. We
okay.
recorded this later to fit it in because we had to send the other version to John. So, I think that's it. JJ, take us back out.
All right. He's into Mario and Luigi. We've been playing Luigi's yes. Mansion together, actually.
Well, very good. Cool. Maybe you've learned some things, JJ. That was a very nice yeah. segue.
Thank
so,
you.
How are you playing Luigi's Mansion together on
so,
a 3DS?
Together, kind of basically, hard. he lays on my chest.
Okay.
And then gotcha. I play it, and he watches, and he points. And
gotcha. Like so tell us about Luigi's Mansion 2.
So, actually, you know, I haven't played the original.
Did you download it or did you buy it?
I bought it.
Okay.
I have not so played the original.
It.
Yes.
Okay.
I have not played the original Luigi's Mansion.
Really?
Yeah. Because
did you
I
buy
didn't,
a GameCube?
I did buy a GameCube. I bought
day one?
Japanese GameCube day one with Super Smash Brothers. It was modded so I could play American and Indian.
Oh, wait. If you bought it day one.
I don't think maybe it wasn't
you
day
were
one.
Not playing Super Smash
well,
Brothers.
I bought it with Super Smash Brothers. Let's okay. just put it that way.
I bought it day one with a game that came out 2 years after.
Was it?
Well,
really?
It was like 6 months after release.
Yeah, it was.
I think
it was all right. pretty close. But I missed out on the whole Luigi's Mansion. And at the time, I think I was probably not interested because there was a lot of backlash that were like, what the fuck is this? This is a Mario, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I kind of wish now that I would have played it because Luigi's Mansion 2 is really fun.
Really?
And I'm really liking it quite a bit.
So this was non-Nintendo developed. It was developed
yes.
at Next Level Games. Yeah. So... Well, it sucks that you don't have the frame of reference for Luigi's
right.
Mansion 1.
And that's kind of why I wanted to ask if anybody has played it, because I know what is new, because they have this new vacuum setting or light setting that's like it's dark light, and it reveals hidden things in the mansion.
Okay.
It's kind of like, Mickey's, what's it called?
Epic
Mickey's like
brush,
yeah, brush sort of thing.
I don't want to think about that.
Okay, well, it's probably
make me think about that.
It's probably better than that.
So okay, here's quick primer on Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wow, this is going way back. I did play it a lot, and I think as everyone did, just for almost lack of another game to play at
right.
launch, it was kind of one of those type of games. It was not bad by any means, but at that time, it was definitely like, hey, we're not getting like a real Mario game at launch. Now, unfortunately, we've
right.
started to get used to that. But at the time, it was like, well, okay, not bad at all, but a little disappointing in that sense. Luckily, a couple, you know, there was Pikmin, there was some other stuff. But so basically, you would go around this mansion. You would, you know, be looking at different things, try to get a ghost to pop out.
Yeah.
Then once the ghost popped out, you're vacuuming him with this kind of gameplay mechanic where it's almost like fishing. You're like pushing
right.
the opposite way of the ghost. The ghost has like a number or something, I forget, and it
mm-hmm.
ticks down, and then finally you capture the ghost, Ghostbuster style.
Okay.
And yeah, basically that. There was like a real thin narrative laid over top of the whole thing, but
so there wasn't a lot of story to the game?
Not that I remember. I mean, there, you know, there was a story. There's a professor and he's made the
yeah.
vacuum that
mm-hmm.
you wear, and Mario has been captured.
Oh,
that's what it was in that one.
Okay. Yeah, it's not in this one.
Mario was missing.
Yeah.
Okay, Mario was
there missing. Is a like a Boo with this crazy hat on, and he comes and like releases all this dark energy, and then you've got to go around to different mansions and pick up these
also a bunch of different
pieces.
Mansions.
Yeah, so there are several mansions. I guess there was only one in the first
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, there are several mansions, of which I'm at the second one. And yeah, a lot of that stuff is the same. Like you're still vacuuming ghosts, and the doctor is back. The game has a lot of story.
Really?
Actually, I think one of my complaints is that it's a little too talky-talky.
How is the story is told via cutscenes?
Via cutscenes, and then like from time to time, the doctor will call you on your Nintendo DS.
Ah,
like it is an original DS. It's not like
a fatty
old regular DS.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. But he does talk a little too much, but you can skip it.
So, okay, well, so, let's get back to fundamental gameplay. Maybe it's good for you to talk about it as somebody who has not played Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
So what is, like, the core gameplay, I guess, is the same?
Well, it's sort of the same. I think maybe this one's a little bit more puzzle-y because there is a lot of, like, puzzle solving, and it's
almost... Give me an example.
So, I don't want to spoil a boss, but this boss fight was really great.
It's like a very basic example. It doesn't even have to be like...
Okay, so there's this part where you have to get rid of these spider webs.
Okay. In order to progress. Okay.
And there's like this ball of spider web or whatever on the floor. But, you can vacuum it up and hold it, but you don't really know what to do with it.
Right.
So you walk around and you look around and eventually you probably put it down and then you'll go look around the room for something else. And then you take your vacuum and suck up this carpet, and the carpet causes a chain reaction to have this candle fall down on the floor. And you then take the web ball and light it on fire and then walk over to the spider web and then you can progress.
Okay, good example. So is there a lot of that where you're vacuuming up objects with the vacuum? At the beginning, not so much,
but I think as I'm progressing, I'm finding more sort of that kind of thing. And it's getting more and more puzzle heavy. And I will say, like,
how far are you into it?
Sorry. I'm in the second dungeon, or the second mansion. I think there's five mansions in total. So, I don't know. Maybe 5 hours.
Okay.
I think it's a bit longer than the first one.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like, the first, I don't want to spoil it, but the first boss fight is like Zelda level boss design. Like, I think it's better than some recent Zelda bosses. In fact, the puzzles, it was just like, I was like, oh wow, this is really cool. It's not so much you're like fighting a boss or hitting it so over and over again or whatever, but it's very much like you do this, and then you win.
Okay. And so when you say Zelda level boss design, you're like kind of figuring out how you can hurt the boss.
Yeah,
you have to do a process each time.
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, the process changes every time you hit.
Okay.
So it's like, cool. It is from beginning to end, it is a one complete puzzle. So
cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. The game also has multiplayer now.
Right.
Online.
That was one of the big things they were pushing about it.
And I played a little bit of it last night. It's a little light on the content. I think there's like, they're randomly generated mansion floors.
Yeah.
And basically they're the only two modes that I played was one where you have to chase a ghost dog around.
Yeah.
And capture him.
Whoever gets him first.
No, it's just you. It's all co-op, so it's all based on teamwork. But the thing is, you have to use the dark light to track his footprints.
You say dark light, you mean like the black light.
It's not a black light because it's like rainbow colored, but like it.
But things show up.
It shows ghostly stuff. Like sometimes
footprints
or like hidden. Couches, sofas, any sort of interior.
Sure, your normal kind of hidden couches and sofas. Yeah. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
It's like hidden stuff in the levels. Like one of the other parts of the story is that these boos, Boo,
yeah,
the white ghost.
Oh, I know boos.
Yeah, have sort of certain magical powers to make things disappear.
Oh, okay.
And part of the puzzles are some of the puzzles in the game involve you like revealing those things. And
so what are you after? What's the end goal here?
You have to get all get all the dark light pieces to make it so like the world doesn't get covered in ghosts and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a fair enough reason for a quest. So you have to go into these mansions and clear out 30 clear out 30 ghosts out of this mansion before you can move on to the next one, or just get to the end of this thing.
It is mission based. So like the first one would be like, go here and get the vacuum. And then the next one would be like, find out what the, why this thing isn't working.
So
it's not like World of Warcraft quests.
Kill 30 beavers.
They're all kind of story related.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Right. I do kind of wish that it was all like, I kind of wish they would leave you alone a little bit more, like instead of having these missions
Nintendo-y hand-holdy kind of thing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that happening here?
Well, you can skip it, so it's not that bad.
Okay.
I do wish it wasn't broken up. Like, they have you come back to the main lobby every so often.
Right.
I wish you could just go into the mansion and then just explore it and do everything to its fullest in one go.
Are you meant to go back to mansions after you've already...
Well, there is a lot of secret stuff that you will eventually go back to. And
why would you do that? What's the unlockable?
Because there are unlockable levels.
Oh, okay.
Missions and stuff like that.
Is it like a ghost house? You have to like find the different exit?
Yeah, well, and they're not exits. It's just like there will be hidden doors, or like if you get a new ability, if you go back, you know, like with the dark light, you'll find hidden booze, and you can capture all the booze and get a new level from that.
Okay,
like
okay.
That.
I see. You open new levels by capturing
booze and gathering these little crystals as well.
Cool crystals.
Yeah,
you not enough crystals in video games.
Yeah, you collect the crystals,
and it looks good. Like
what, it looks, the graphics are pretty good. Right. The frame rate's a little choppy, but
really,
it's like there's so much geometry. Like everything moves in right. this game.
Well, it's like light and sourced to hell and back.
Yeah,
right?
The lighting is amazing.
Yeah,
and the 3D also.
The
great.
Demo that I saw at E3 was one of the more impressive yeah. uses of 3D at the time, and I was surprised by the lighting as well. Yeah. Is it just when you're vacuuming and shit's going crazy that it gets a little chunky?
No, the frame rate, I think, is sub 30 frames per second mostly all the time.
Okay, but I mean, it's not peaking, it's not interfering.
Yeah, it doesn't like get like Shadow of the Colossus bad or anything yeah. like that. It's all pretty constantly like just a little choppy, but it's not something that gets in the way of gameplay or makes, you know,
okay, well, a big deal. Switching gears completely, except that it's also a handheld game, something pretty much, judging from Twitter and the internet, everyone is playing.
Ridiculous Fishing.
Yes.
Yes.
Ridiculously popular Ridiculous Fishing. Are any of you guys still awake over there? Are you guys playing Ridiculous Fishing at all?
I don't particularly play mobile games that much. So.
See, this is why we needed Dan here.
Tony, what do you think about that?
What, that Tom
you don't play mobile games either?
Well, neither was the thing is, like, I spend a lot of time on, like, the App Store and the same thing on the Google Play Store because I actually have an Android tablet looking for games that, like, will just keep me longer than, you know, a train ride, that kind of a thing.
Right.
And it's rather few and far between.
Yes, agreed.
So that's one of the things, like, I don't mind that, you know, touch interface, like, games, like, yeah, this could be a thing that I could get into.
Right.
I just want something with depth, please.
Yeah.
Something more than a runner. Something more than a match three. Something more than...
Even if it's a good runner?
There is no such thing as a good runner to me.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Wow. Okay, well, do you know about Ridiculous Fishing at all?
I've heard about it.
You've seen people talking about it.
I've heard about it, and if only just because of the other intern that we would work alongside, Dan,
yeah.
is a really big mobile gamer, and he's
huge.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have him on the next podcast. But
yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, pretty much everyone is playing this game, partially, I think, because of the game, but partially because of the story behind it, which if you haven't, you should Dorito, Ridiculous Fishing,
right.
and what was the ripoff called?
Ninja Fishing.
Ninja Fishing, yeah. Basically, these guys were going to make an iOS game. They showed it. It got ripped off before they could put it out. They put it on the back burner for like 2-3 years. Now it's out. It's pretty polished and fun.
Yeah.
And it is a simple game. It has depth. I mean, to me, it's like what I want from a good time-killing iOS game.
Right.
Which is that this is basically like a Atari game. When I say Atari, I mean like Atari 2600 game.
Yeah.
Super basic, super simplistic, but also just fun on like a base, you know, lizard brain level. Like you're basically guiding a fish hook by tilting your iOS device.
It's like a Zelda Fishing mini game, pretty much.
Except it just plays nothing like a Zelda.
No, there are DS Zeldas that have the exact same. Like you're going down, avoiding the bombs. And other fish.
Really?
Yeah.
And never, then you get never to the, played much
then you get to the bottom and then there's a chest and you...
Okay, well, then for people who don't know, like me,
oh.
then you're tilting the... which I was surprised about. You're actually tilting the iOS device. Is it only out on iOS?
Yeah, it's only okay. iOS.
You're tilting the iOS device first going down, trying to avoid fish and obstacles. Then once your line gets to its maximum, which you can upgrade later from money you earn from killing fish, it... reverses and you go back up and you're guiding it and you want to try to catch as many fish as possible. So
right,
again,
and then they go
simple.
Up into the air and then you
then when they get to the surface they go up into the air and you're tapping on the screen to shoot them
yes.
with different kind of guns that fire different ways and you're bouncing them up, like hitting them is making them fly up
right.
into the air. They have like a physics, excuse me, they have like a mass and a weight to them.
Mm.
And so you're shooting them up higher and higher and higher into the air. And then the different fish will net you different kinds of money, which then you can turn in between kind of rounds, quote unquote.
Into upgrades, yeah.
Into upgrades. Upgrades, like, the upgrades are actually pretty clever. One of the upgrades is like a toaster that you put on the line.
Right.
Which on your way down, if you hit the first fish, it just electrocutes it and gets rid of it. So basically it's like a free.
And then you can get a hair dryer that lets you get hit twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You get longer line, you go to different places and fish different fish. Very simple, but fun, cleverly designed. I would say it has a good like sense.
It's very addictive, great music.
A fun little game is what I would call it.
Yeah, it's got really
fun little game.
Really great music, the graphics are good.
It's $3, which is like hilarious to me that saying something's $3, like, oh, it's $3. Yeah. Like, really?
You know,
it's
I have to say dollar? When I Dan sent me the link to the App Store and I saw the price, I was like, oh,
right.
I was expecting 99 cents.
How fucked up is that?
That is pretty fucked up.
Our expectations, kids growing up these days have pretty fucked up expectations as to what things cost.
Although I think I read somewhere that like it's $3 and they basically upfront say we're not going to microtransaction you. This is it.
They don't. And that is correct. And they could have easily, like, the game could have been that way. I mean, it could have been a free to play thing where you got the other things. I don't know. There's pluses and minuses to both, but me maybe being an old timer, I prefer it this way where it's just like, okay, now I got the game. I actually have the game. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, you start playing and you end up sitting on the toilet a little longer, or, you know, you start playing in line and you're like, oh, crap, I'm already at the front of the line.
You're sitting down in the train elbowing people next to you because you're turning your iOS device.
Are you?
I wouldn't
do that.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, well, I just, you know.
But it's not the kind of game where I'm like, oh, when can I play Ridiculous Fishing next again? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of like, but I mean, that's not a knock against it so much as just saying it's a fun little game. Worth the $3, I would definitely say.
I was going to mention as well on the subject of Dan being a like huge mobile gamer.
Yes.
Dan was telling us over lunch that he has now downloaded so many apps on his iPhone that when he downloads new ones, they won't even go on the screen. He has to specifically search for them to use them.
Jesus Christ. That man has a problem.
Yes. Seriously.
I've seen his phone. Yes, he does have a problem.
Just folders and folders. Folders for miles and miles.
Does he not use folders? I don't.
Dude, no.
Every single folder is full, I think.
Yeah, all the cool kids don't use folders. Folders are
for, really?
Yeah.
Folders are for losers?
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Don't tell John.
All right, so Tom, if you have not been playing mobile anything, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Skulls of the Shogun.
There you go.
Yes, which I completed the other day.
Completely unbidden. You'd already had the internship here when the game came out, right? That was not like a kiss-ass move on your part to curry favor.
There was no sort of attempt to curry favor, but I should mention that this is my boss who wrote the game.
Now is your chance to curry favor.
And how awesome
you will
was
be
it?
Judged. Yes. So on a scale of awesome to life
mind blowing.
Yes. No, but seriously, what are you? Are you playing single player or multiplayer? Or what?
I've only played the single player so far.
Okay,
And
how
I did
far
go.
Are you?
Oh, I've completed it all the way through the campaign.
What's wrong with multiplayer? So, got a problem with multiplayer?
I don't have anyone on my friends list that is playing it yet.
You think multiplayer is shit? Like, what are you saying about multiplayer?
The multiplayer lacks writing.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah,
that's a good answer. Wait, so you played through the single player game?
Yeah, the entire campaign, and I've gone back and sort of earned a few of the, you know, there's the golden skulls you get for
nice, really,
objectives.
Yeah, there's special achievements for doing like weird things in the different levels.
Yeah, so I'm sort of working towards maybe trying to get all of those.
Sounds like you like it.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, I'm a huge sort of turn-based strategy fan.
Ah, okay. What are your series?
Heroes of Might and Magic.
Okay. Yes.
I'd be actually worried to know how many hours I've put into that game.
Mm.
And then also Masters of Orion, XCOM, Ascendancy. Mm. So I've played a lot. And this is, I mean,
were all those different games?
What? Yeah, they were all different games.
Okay.
Oh, leave my accent alone.
Sorry.
And this one it's definitely a little bit more casual, which is obviously, I think, something they're going for.
Right.
But there
Arcady.
Is a, yeah, it's a lot faster paced.
Right.
But there is still a lot of depth to it. And it has some interesting sort of balance to it.
Right.
And also, surprisingly, for the type of game it is, if you aren't a sort of turn-based strategy fan, it's probably best to play it on easy at first. Like, It's not that it's a huge challenge, but it's definitely...
How did you find the difficulty? I'm curious.
Like, for me, on normal, it was about right.
Really?
Yeah, like, there was only sort of three or four times when I sort of was like, oh, no, this is just going wrong, and I forcibly restarted it, and then once or twice I died.
Right, right.
But it was definitely like I was really playing defensively. Like, I had to sort of, you know, always be on the defense and sort of slowly grinding them down.
Right, right, right.
But that's kind of how I always play turn-based games anyway, so.
What was your... Do you have a favorite season or favorite level?
A favorite season? Oh, I guess the sort of winter-based season was pretty cool.
So the last one.
Yeah, just because you get all these different effects of, oh, if you're standing on ice, you're going to go sliding really far.
Right, and, right.
You know, you get sort of...
Did you use the knockoff? I haven't talked to too many people, actually, since the game came out. I talked to a lot of testers, but I'm kind of curious now... Like, I mean, I realize this is kind of self-serving since, yeah, we worked on the game and 17-bit are good friends of ours, but...
We should mention, though, that I didn't work on the game.
That's
personally.
True, yeah. But you do work here.
I do, yes.
But, so, yeah, I'm curious how the difficulty kind of worked out, especially at the end there. Like, do you think that was the peak of difficulty? Did the difficulty ramp up?
Oh, the difficulty, yeah, definitely goes up towards the end.
Okay.
Especially the last level, like, you really have to think it through and sort
of
know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use the knockback stuff a lot.
Knockback, yeah.
Like, cool. I was pretty paranoid about, like, always keeping people in spirit walls and stuff.
Right. Spirit walls becomes, like, a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Glad to hear it. Also, playing Hitman Absolution, that has nothing to do with your whole look or anything, right?
I'm only missing the tattoo, and I guess
Tom,
I would be the...
Tom doesn't have any hair.
Tom doesn't have any hair. He has a lot of rings,
mention that I shave my hair?
Now it's not off. Yes. Yeah, you shave your head.
Yeah, and I have
it's
been
a
stripped
it's a choice.
Of... I have been stripped of
You've
all
been
my
stripped
metal.
Of all of your power and jewelry. We should say your fashion sense, how would you describe... Your fashion sense?
I would say it's a mix between sort of metal,
yeah,
and maybe the Japanese fashion of like gyaru-o.
Yeah,
it's like Dante. For
that's what
Devil
I was
going
to say. I think that's a quick shorthand to say the same thing that you did is Devil May Cry, which was going to be your nickname, actually.
It is worth mentioning that there was a thread on NeoGAF talking about uncool characters, and every time someone mentioned Dante, I cried a little tear. It's just like, no.
It was very big, like... 10 years? Well, no.
2001.
12 years ago? Yeah, it was very, very ahead of its time. But you're not about it because it's like the flavor of the month. You're about it because it is you.
He's about that life.
And it speaks to you.
Devil May Cry 4, Uncle Dante. You know, right. I love it.
You're like, what the fuck happened to my... What do you think? Quick temperature read about the new Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play it eventually. Yeah. But it's something where...
You don't feel betrayed or...
No, but it's kind of a catch-22 situation where I feel as though if I buy it and support this new game, then I might not get the series that I actually love carrying on.
Yeah.
But if I don't buy it at all, they might just think, oh, well, there's no interest in Devil May Cry. Let's just cut it off. But yeah, it's... You know, people talk about how with the original series, oh, the story is really stupid and...
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
And things like this.
Who are
but,
those people?
Yeah.
But, I want to fill their heart with lies!
But to me, that was kind of the point, is it is this ridiculous over-the-top thing, and I like the sense of sort of comedy about it. And
Sure.
You know, I didn't really want it to go sort of any more serious.
After our last, actually, we had some comments about story in Devil May Cry 3, which I think I said was the one that I knew the least.
Yeah.
But it actually had a decent story.
Really?
At least some people think so.
Yeah, I always skip the story.
It's, you know, if you like that style of story, then yeah, it is a sort of pretty good story.
Right. So you take it tongue in cheek, but you are actually a fan of...
Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Mythos.
Yeah.
Is there any fan fiction in your past? Have you
There's
ever
no fan fiction,
taken
no.
pen to paper and continue the series the way that you think it should be continued?
No, there's nothing creepy. If
really?
That's what you're asking.
There's no Dante and
I'm
Goku
saying,
fight off.
I'm just saying, just because Capcom isn't continuing down the true path that you and I both know the one true path, that doesn't mean that Tom can't. Take it up.
Maybe
it stars a character named Tom, NPC. Maybe he's the Dante's new right-hand man. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas here.
Yeah. I want to see Dante and Harry Potter fighting demons.
Why have you brought up Harry Potter now?
So, yes, on that note, Tony, you been playing anything of note that we should know about?
Not really much of anything in particular, although I do have kind of a question. I know I'm going like off.
Oh my god! Here,
but, what
off the rails?
I have been playing the demo for Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
Good segue. Yes, go ahead
and
say your worst.
And I know there are a lot of people in this office that love it to death, and also that liken it to Dark Souls, which is a game that, truth be told, if I play anything else nowadays, it's like, why am I playing something that isn't Dark Souls? This is just taking away my Dark Souls time. So
I could be playing Dark Souls again.
Really? Yes.
So today is the first, just side note, sidebar, today's the first day that I've ever had, I think, had heard the comparison between Dark Souls
and
Monster Hunter. Yes. But continue.
Go ahead. Well, I think the comparisons are made from like a combat standpoint. And
they are.
I can see kind of like the seeds
in boss battles, epic battles. Right.
I see the seeds of that there.
Yes.
And yet,
yes,
I just can't get into it the same way that I can get into Dark Souls. Yep. And it's also in a way sort of making me question why I like Dark Souls as much as I do.
Interesting.
And I suppose kind of, you know, I remember hearing in the past you basically saying, look, you need to give this game 10 hours before you give it up.
10 to 12, maybe.
And that's the thing where it's like, you know, I'm a poor student. I've been a poor student for very much of my life. And so I'm kind of debating whether or not I should make this investment. So somebody please sell this game to me. Tell me why I need to buy this, why it needs to be on my 3DS.
Well, I'm about to talk about it. So this is good. That's a very good segue. So how long? You're playing it on your 3DS.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you played it so far?
Well, I've only been playing the demo, so I've played the demo like 4 times. And
how long is
have
the
you
demo?
Beaten?
Like, does the demo?
It's just you fight a Jaggy and a Lugumbi.
And a Lugumbi, yeah. And that's the problem. Okay. I haven't even started with it.
Okay, so here's a situation where the demo can't give you. This is a game that at a trade show shows like shit.
Yeah, Monster Hunter
demo
is
going to show like shit.
They have notoriously bad demos for Monster Hunter.
Well, and another thing is, you can't playing that game on 3DS, especially as your first time alone. Especially alone, you're just not going to understand it. You could play it for 20 hours, you won't get it. You have got to be playing with somebody else. You have to. One of the things. So I've been playing again now on Wii U. I'm totally hooked.
Yeah.
I just got the 3DS code. I want to transfer my person to. I want to transfer my character to be playing at GDC.
Shakalaka.
Yes,
Shalashasha.
But we have a thing in news, I think, where the transfer program is not working. It might be working by the time this podcast comes out.
I think they say it comes out Friday.
So. Friday. The 20 March 22nd is when they're talking about. There's an app that lets you transfer your person between the 3DS and the Wii U game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like hooked all over again. I didn't play the 3DS game when it came out here in Japan. You guys were going crazy on it again, but like, you know, I have like fallen in love with it all over again. So I think I can hopefully like articulate what it is about it. And I think actually, to their credit, I think some of the reviews I've been seeing actually have been doing a good job articulating,
you know,
the weirdness about this game, how you have to really, it's going to take a certain kind of person to appreciate it. But if you do, if you have the patience, it's like lovemaking, JJ.
Right.
A little bit. As you always say.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
It's funny because, you know, it seems like with every Monster Hunter game, more and more people are figuring it out. Like,
yes,
this is pretty
they
good.
They are. So I'm thinking of two reviews. One was the Eurogamer one.
Yeah, that's the one you tweeted.
Yeah, that was very good. And Phil Kohler, who I played with, Polygon review.
Yeah.
Even though Eurogamer gave it a 9 and Polygon gave it a 7.5, I think regardless of scale and whatever, that the content of the review was pretty much the same. It's just a matter of how much value you put on what actually comes or how you look at reviews. If you look at reviews as aiming towards, okay, who are the people who are going to get this? What's the score going to be to them? Or if you look at reviews as, okay, I have to kind of take a thing as to what the average person is going to get out of this.
Right.
I 100% agree with both of those reviews.
Yeah.
Basically, both of them were saying that, yes, this is a game that requires intense patience, that does not teach you things, which I guess bears out the comparison to Dark Souls
a little bit.
A little bit. you have to be looking at a wiki basically for almost the entire time you're playing it. And ideally, unlike, well, I guess also like Dark Souls, but unlike Dark Souls, you're doing it within the game. It's all about communicating with other people.
Right.
In a bunch of different ways. So one way is about asking people like, okay, I'm just starting off. What weapon should I use? I have no fucking idea. What should I even be doing? Like, okay, you should, a good weapon to start off with is like sword and shield or, you know, dual swords, because you're very maneuverable and you can dodge, and the combat, it takes a while to get used to this where you have to commit to every animation. So start off with something where you're still very maneuverable and can still dodge while you're learning all the enemy tells and all the enemy like animations.
I would always suggest, and this I believe this to with the from the bottom of my heart, you should try every single weapon and then just kind of see which one feels right to you, and then just commit to it.
I feel like that's a bad idea though, because I think as a beginner, your requirements are different than as an advanced player. If somebody picks up the lance from the start,
that's what I did.
You're a weird in this respect. Because the normal average person picking up the lance is going to be like, I can't, what am I doing? I can't really.
I think the thing is there is no like average person. Everybody's going to come at it in a different
Fair
way.
Fair enough, and I agree. I think there are weapons though that on the average more people will gravitate towards.
Right, and greatsword is not one of them.
And either probably is switch axe in the same way, because these are weapons that are super heavy and super powerful, but when you attack with them, you commit.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to know, okay, I know that Rathian, this big dragon, is doing this animation and he's about to roar and I can just start fucking wailing on his head, and I don't have to worry about dodging out of the way when he shoots fireball, because that's not coming for another at least 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
All of this stuff you just kind of naturally pick up. But in the meantime, while you're learning that, having something where you can just slash a little bit and then dodge and stuff is really good. Anyway, that's kind of getting into specifics to pull out another kind of a more general view. It's absolutely, this patience is super required. And above and beyond that, it's somebody telling you this stuff and somebody there to help you out. And that's the beauty of this one, is now just online is smoother and easier than ever. It wasn't that bad on Wii, especially in America. But now it's better, especially with the voice chat.
Oh, so you're using voice chat?
Yeah, everybody is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because you have it right there in the controller. It actually kind of sucks sometimes because you don't want to talk.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, hey, hit the mic button on the upper right. Like, start talking. because everybody knows by the fact that you're playing it on Wii U that you have voice communication. It's not even like PS3 where it's like, I have a Bluetooth headset or whatever.
You can use the mic.
You can use the pad. The thing that people were saying, I don't think you can do it.
Right.
There's a button on the top of the screen. You hit mic on or mic off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you're hearing other people talk. The quality is not great. Don't get me wrong. The quality is better than we speak, which was dog shit.
Which you could not understand what anybody was saying.
Yeah. And, you know, lobbies are restricted to 4 people probably as a result, even though it was that way, I guess, in the Japanese
version. Yeah, I think it was only... It's like that because the 3DS version was like that.
That really kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So basically, you have to go on these quests, but there's only a maximum of 4 people that can be in any one lobby. So all the time, you'll get online, and it's like, check a room. Nope, these guys are out on a quest.
Right.
I have no idea how long they're going to be till they come back. So I leave, go to the next room, leave, go to the next room, leave.
Right.
So it's kind of like, to play online, a lot of times, to join a party that's already established, you have to be like, okay, it might be 20 minutes till I start. It might be like 5 minutes.
We're trying to convince Tony how the game is awesome.
Right. Back to that. So.
Stop. Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
I have to say here, I don't own a Wii U. I just have a 3DS.
So that's a problem.
Does this complicate things?
It does, because you do not have a bunch of like-minded friends who are going to be playing the 3DS version. If you had been playing that around here when the Japanese version came out, it would absolutely not be a problem. And in fact, it would be better. It would be like playing Halo on a couch instead of playing it online against people, because you'd be in the same room with, you know, people playing. It's a lot of fun that way. Mm-hmm. You can ask, you know, questions in real time and stuff.
Right.
I've heard that from other people too, and I really have to say, like, to me, it's the social aspect. So if you have other people that will play with you on the 3DS, great, even better. If you don't, you really have to be playing the Wii U version, I think, to start off to understand it. Once you get it, you kind of can, I think, bears single player a lot more. And single player does have an amazing localized story.
Oh, yes.
I hear. It's like hilarious dialogue.
Similar to Shakespeare, but a little bit better.
Like Shakespeare, but but better. Funnier.
Shakespeare with monsters.
Shakespeare was so up his own ass. I mean, come on, really? Yeah. You know, right? you know, doesn't take itself seriously. I kind of accidentally, because I was just going to play a little bit to play with like Petra Klepek and Phil Kohler and a bunch of the reviewers, because I wanted to try to help them understand. We didn't end up playing that much, but those guys played a lot on their own and just kind of got it on their own.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm hooked. And the weird thing is, before when I was playing, I would go online and there would be usually nobody online because we got the game early from Capcom. And sometimes there would be one or two people who would be a reviewer on. A couple people got copies in Canada early or whatever.
Oh, right.
So it was kind of a natural, like, okay, well, I'm not going to play because I can't play online right now, so I would turn it off. But now they just flipped the switch like 2 days ago. And now it's like, fuck, man. Like,
yay.
Always on. There's always people. I could even find the exact monster that I want to get for my collection and stuff like that. It's super dangerous because I'm like home at midnight. I have a meeting at 8 a.m. I'm like, I really should go to sleep, but I know that there are tons of people ready and willing and going to like level me up and all of this kind of shit. So, yeah, I'm totally hooked to all of
that. I'm actually quite surprised because I thought you were going to get on with us in the Japanese version, but it actually
is. I didn't. And I thought, you know what? I'm just waiting till 4 now. Yeah. I'm kind of over this one and I'm just going to wait till 4. And especially we work on it and it's just like, you know, every day for a long time. But I don't know what it is, but maybe it's seeing people like on my Twitter feed and stuff actually interested in talking about it, and especially people new to it.
I know, you know, and that's the thing, like Corey Schmitz was talking about how he's pretty into it now, and I'm just sitting there like, when I'm seeing these people tweet about this kind of stuff, I'm like, I want to play with
that's
you
the
guys
whole thing. Like, as fun as it is learning the ropes, and it is a huge amount of fun. I mean, like, seeing the tells and seeing a new monster for the first time and learning all that stuff is thrilling and awesome. It's almost more fun to teach. Like, this is, I guess, what teachers know. It's even more fun to be on the other side of it. And like, hey, man, come here. I'm going to show you how to do it. No, don't do that. Do this. Oh, you should really go do that. Here's some advice for that. And da-da-da-da-da. Like, that is actually, like, I think part of what's made it really so popular here in Japan.
Totally. The mentor aspect.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
One of the things that kind of bothers me now is that, like, yes, like you said, you're just kind of buying time until 4, right?
Right. And well, I thought I was going to, but then now I end up playing this...
But
again,
I mean, like, if I pick this up, ostensibly, I'm in the wrong region to be playing it with people.
Right. No, right. Living in Japan. Yeah. Like, living in Japan, buying the U.S. version. Mm-hmm. Well, besides when you come in here, because John also has two copies and will be playing them.
Right.
Besides when you come in here, it will be like a very lonely existence and not like the real way to play Monster Hunter. Living in Japan as your first experience, probably would be better to wait till 4.
Because 4 will have online play.
On the 3DS.
On the 3DS.
And that's another big
thing. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Plus, it will sell like a billion copies day one.
Of course. Yeah. Like, that was I did my whole Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate talk. The voice chat thing is like a new thing. I really do. Maybe I've just been in Japan too long, but a lot of times I don't want to use the voice chat.
Yeah, you know, that's...
It's weird.
I don't understand that, yeah.
It's when it's, for some reason, in a first-person shooter, like a Halo match, it's only like 2 minutes long. And it's like, I don't care, whatever. I'm just here. Get the flag. Do whatever. But in Monster Hunter, a lot of times it's like a 20, 30-minute thing.
Right.
And it's like, okay, like... Silence, 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 silence. Yeah. Mic is on the whole time. I'm not like toggling it on and off or whatever. It's a little bit weird. It's more intimate somehow.
Yeah.
When you're like on this half hour
thing. But sometimes you just want to focus and get down to business.
But it's undeniably useful because your hands are crazy busy with what's going on screen. So with friends and stuff, it's great. I actually don't think we'll be using Skype for maybe the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Well,
I want to know what that feels like.
Exactly, exactly.
I think it also makes a huge difference, though, that you know everyone has a mic.
Right.
Like, I can feel it. Like, when I play on my 360, I know that pretty much everyone has a mic because it comes with the system. And I always leave my mic on. But on the PS3, like, it's like...
No, absolutely, it's that. Yeah, yeah. And it's weird at the same time, because people will be like... I've actually said before, I was like, yeah, I got a baby that's asleep. I actually made you. Yeah. I was like, I got a baby that's asleep. I can't talk voice. And then they were like, oh, can you hear us voice? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, wait, how does that work? And I'm like, let's kill Rathian. Let's go. Let's go. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it too much.
Has anybody called you out and been like, hey, aren't you Mark McDonald from 8-4 Play?
My name is Shalashaska on 3 Ultimate. So nobody,
you're that guy from Metal Gear?
Nobody knows anyway.
Awesome Metal Gear video?
Metal Gear. That's right. Transfiring was already taken. So
were you CG? Was that CG when they did you?
I was. That's debatable. I'm not going to say. Okay. Who knows? Let's have fun with that. But why don't we, I think that's enough of the Ultimate 3 talk. I was going to talk about a bit about Bit Summit, but maybe we'll do that in the news, because I think that's going to come up there. The Japanese indie developer event that happened in Kyoto a couple weeks ago. Basically any of my free time has been taken with either Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, or I've been watching this speed run of Yoshi's Island. I think I've talked about these before.
Oh yeah.
But the any percent Yoshi's Island speed run.
The any percent?
Yeah, any percent means like not 100%. 100% is completing everything.
You have to clear it.
Finishing the game.
Okay.
Guy named he calls himself Carl Sagan. There's a really awesome YouTube video that showed the previous world record and his world record.
Right.
And he commentates it with like two or three other friends. One of them was the previous world record holder.
Oh, wow.
Does he sound anything like Carl Sagan?
No.
Because that would have been fantastic.
He looks like he weighs about like a 105. I mean, he's like a skinny little kid with like a bowl cut, but super cool.
Yeah.
And really fucking awesome at Yoshi's Island.
Really?
Like, yes. This guy is like a fucking artist with Yoshi's Island.
I have
Island
to see this then.
It's his medium. You really need to see this. They do shit like juggling Shy Guys, spitting stuff out, like bouncing eggs just while they're bored and jumping and doing other shit. They're like bouncing eggs off shit. And like,
whoa.
It's amazing, man. Like, that game has so much depth and stuff you can do with it. It's really amazing. I would love to have him. I keep talking about the podcaster or the speedrun show that we're going to do at some point. I would love to have him as one of the guys, because Yoshi's Island is one of the. It's one of my best, like, if you want to check out what speedrunning is about, check that out. One of the best games. And I say that about the 100% run and also this free run. Anyway.
Anywho.
That's what I've been doing. So what I'm doing now is taking a break. Okay. So why don't we do that? And when we come back, we have like a crapload of news. So stick around. All right, we are back. JJ's had his fill of penis over the break.
I what?
You
Freed penis.
Yeah, Freed penis.
Plenty of penis.
Penis.
It was shining.
Do you want to explain?
So the new Shining game.
That should have just been your nickname next week.
Shining Arc. I forgot the name because it's so forgettable. The main female character in Japanese is Panisu. Which
like
is
she's
one
about 10.
She's like about 10, but she's wearing clothes that you would see in like a lingerie.
Plus, the game will state she's 18 anyway.
Yeah. No, not in Japan.
And Panis is like almost one character away from
much
being
what it
penis.
Is in English.
It is penis.
It's
it is
one
penis.
Letter away
from being penis.
Are you saying that they actually want people to be thinking of penis when they?
Yes.
Do? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would
I don't
that
know.
Be beneficial?
Because she is half naked, and
I'm going to go another way with this.
Maybe she's a man.
I'm going to guess there's some like weird, ancient, obscure Greek god that is actually named
probably
in katakana penis in Japanese, and they just are like, no, it's penis. And
she's actually the life tree.
You know, or localizer. We have two interns here. We could just fact check this.
No, that's right. If they weren't so busy talking on the podcast, which they're going to be doing a lot more of.
Round two.
Including piping up saying when I say stupid shit, like, you've never been on the podcast before.
Well, you're like, you were on such a roll there, and you're like, no, you produced it. And I'm like, no, I was on it. Like, I remember talking about video games.
That's all I need to hear.
You did kind of steamroll him on that.
Hey, I will steamroll you, and you gotta fucking step up, or I will steamroll you, okay?
But that was me talking. You steamrolled me.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, wait, why am I still steamrolling you? How many episodes have
we done? That was not the episode. I was not on that episode.
And you didn't listen to it?
I did not listen to it.
Wait, you didn't listen to it?
Sorry.
Loser. Wait, you didn't want to check on my work?
I was in Los Angeles.
That was an amazing episode.
I heard.
Search for Greg with two G's on the end.
Yeah.
And one at the start, if you want to find that one. Greg Tavares. Super holiday special.
Yep.
It was awesome.
And amazing technical thing too. I mean, like, yes. Just a little bit behind the scenes. We had like a real big problem with sound.
I did listen to that. I went back. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I did listen to see how it
was my moment of triumph, JJ, and you just totally
once again,
I thought you were my friend.
All people talking was just Charlie Brown voices to JJ. He was just listening for like a hiss.
Yeah, I want to see how Tony solved the technical
problem. All right. And by the way, one of you is going to be saying the final thing, so start thinking about that now. I'm going to actually give you fair warning.
Yeah.
So I mentioned Bit Summit a little bit. So this was a gathering of Japanese indie developers, kind of coordinated by James Milkey and Q Games. Yeah. and a bunch of folks, Ben Judd out of Kyoto. We helped out a little bit here at 8-4. A lot of cool sponsors, a lot of actual real talk.
Real
talk, JJ.
Yeah.
Valve was there and was like, it's like this, all right?
Yeah.
This is what Steam is.
Y'all want to have
Welcome
games?
Welcome to fucking 10 years ago, yeah. All right? Why don't you join us? No, they weren't like that. But they were saying, like what Project Greenlight was and what other things was. My favorite probably moment of the entire thing was during the Valve speech. They were talking about their hats and like Team Fortress hats.
Yeah.
And they were like saying, you know, like the hats and how we make all the money with hats. And then the translator who was doing it into Japanese was like, and he like stopped and he's like, yeah, hats. And he's like, yeah, like hats you wear on your head. And the guy was like, okay. And he's like, I'm just going to translate that. But I think I must be missing something.
Right. 'Cause
there's no way you're saying that your game is free, except you make a lot of money selling hats to people.
Well, clearly Japan doesn't know the internet. And how silly it can be. Hats are awesome.
Hats are awesome.
And they're pretty crazy. And I mean, with Dota, they're not just hats anymore.
Right.
They're full, like, armor sets, and they're making tons of money.
Oh, that makes much more
like,
sense.
Like hats that you wear on your legs.
Yeah. I mean, come on. This isn't, like, a foreign concept in Japan. Like, any Tales game has, like, tons of, like,
cosmetic
DLC.
It's just that this person, and actually the person wasn't Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, it was a person translating it. Into Japanese, but they weren't Japanese, but they were not familiar just with Valve and Team Fortress and like up on things. And you think about that for a second, and it is kind of like, yeah, I guess if you haven't been like closely following things for the past three years, you'd probably be like, wait, what the fuck?
How could it be closely though? I mean, like, there are people like who quit their day jobs, right, and live off making hats. How could you not have heard about that?
Japan.
Well, otherwise, the people translating at Bit Summit were excellent.
Yeah.
So let's see. A lot of people, Swery had a speech there that was kind of cool.
How to make one game. Sorry.
JJ, such a hater. Listen to this guy.
I'm sorry.
Kataoka-san from Crispies, who's going to be at GDC.
Sweet.
Gave like a little speech about following your muse and just making the game you want to make, and actually telling the story about Tokyo Jungle, which was actually pretty cool. It's basically like had no knowledge or foresight of making games and whatever. And
right.
Wanted to make the game they wanted to make. I mean, they made some like PSP fashion game or something.
Apparently, he was sending out a lot of because he wrote an article on a Japanese website about this before, and he like would just send out game ideas to game companies and be like, "Hey, why don't we make this? Why don't we make this?" And then eventually, like Tokyo Jungle was the one that they actually got to make.
Ben Judd was also around, friend of the show. Ben Judd, he was kind of the host of the festivities. He also gave a speech talking about Kickstarter. talking about a lot of like the realities
free to play games
game stuff this time. I'm sure he did talk about that. I'm sure he did talk about that.
He wasn't drunk.
I wasn't there for that part. No, okay. He wasn't. But he did start off the entire thing. First thing that he said, the entire thing, he shouted top of his lungs, "I am nervous." Yeah, and then I guess it was.
Well, I mean, I would be nervous. The dude, translated his own speech on the fly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, he's good that way.
But then it worked out though, right?
He did a really good hosting job too. He had the kind of the Japanese thing with the two hosts, and they kind of chimed in, bounced back and forth. Who else was there?
Naramura-san from...
Oh, hi, Hiroko.
Hello. From Nigoro.
Yes, that's
created,
right.
La Mulana.
Yep.
And I just figured out why the game is called La Mulana.
Why?
The creator, his name is Naramura. Mula.
Ah.
Naramura. La Mulana.
Oh, yeah.
No
and
shit.
I just wanted to say that. That's why I came back.
I never knew that. Wait, so is he going to be giving a talk at GDC?
Yes, he's going to be giving a talk at GDC.
All right, 8-4 translated talk at GDC. And actually, that I just know little bits of it, but that should be a fun one.
That should be a fun one. Yeah. You guys should pay attention to that one.
Yes. That's like how to build a community for your indie game kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It has a really clever title that I can't remember. What is it? Oh, wait. I remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what it is?
The title?
Yeah.
Of the speech?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Communities?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Came up with that one. Thank you very much. Bazang!
Wow.
Bazunga.
Yep.
So, they were there. Studio Pixel guys were there. I get the La Mulana and Cave Story guys mixed up all the time.
They kind of
but
made a similar game.
Run in the same circles.
And
but
they're friends.
Yeah, and their new game, Ghetto Blaster.
Not Ghetto Blaster.
Kind of, right, but that's kind of cool. Because Ghetto is like the sound that frogs make.
Right.
Yeah, it's so also, is it from that?
Yeah, you're a frog with like a big gun.
Right.
You know another meaning of Ghetto, right?
No.
Puke.
Yeah.
That's when I saw the title.
Puke Blaster.
Right. Yeah, I thought that like something about shooting puke or
even better.
All the Japanese wordplay is coming out. It's doing my head in.
So that's gonna be iOS and possibly 3DS. They were like teasing Tyrone from Nicalis teased a 3DS shot. That's spring 2013, so it's gonna be soon. It looked pretty done.
Yeah.
Looked old school, looked fun.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, Futatsugi-san was there. There's a quote. I think there's something else later in news.
Creator
from that,
of Panzer Dragoon.
Yes. Basically, it was an awesome event. Super proud and happy to be associated with it at all. Everybody was just saying like how much Japan needs this kind of thing.
Right.
And
totally.
It's something we've talked about for a long time, and it was great that Milky and those guys just actually went and did it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and so hopefully the first of many more and things to come.
Yeah, I think hopefully we could help out a little more next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the timing was just not working for us, so we couldn't help out that much.
As you can hear, listen to my voice in the last... I mean, even this podcast, dog-tired. It's been crazy leading up to GDC, but listen to my voice in the last podcast, and that was the day before we headed off to Bit Summit, and you can understand crazy busy it's been for us. Good kind of busy.
Yeah, very great kind of busy.
A lot of fun NDAs. Project Z still steaming along, coming in.
Yeah.
Cool things happening.
A bunch of cool stuff.
Google Bit Summit. You can see some videos and pictures and tweets and stuff out of that.
The posters and all that were very cool too.
Posters were cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all very well done.
There was a concert done by Sakamoto Kyoju. Yeah, and that's up on YouTube apparently.
Oh yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He wears a Famicom on his head if you don't know who he is.
Right,
and then he asks audience members to choose a cartridge out of a bunch, and they plug it into his head.
Yeah,
and then he plays live on a keyboard, it's like the music from those games.
Oh wow,
including like kind of imitating the game. You know how you see guys do that with guitar?
So Mario. It's like a medley, and then he's got sound effects that he's throwing
in. Exactly. So you could picture yourself playing the game, and then he would screw up at places and die. And he,
what kind of games did he play?
Well, he did one of the most popular with the crowd there was Mahjong for the NES, which you know, I obviously don't know at all. But it was like, you know, when the text, I could tell certain things just by how he was playing it. Yeah, and he was like, and I'm sure that was like picking up the tiles and looking at them and putting them back down.
Yeah, exactly.
So he did the whole thing, and the crowd like totally loved it. And then he upgraded to Super Famicom, which he'd never done before.
I've never seen that. It was his first time doing it.
He said it was the first time doing it, so I'm now Super Sakamoto.
So wait. You went and you put in Star Fox, right? Because of course everyone wanted to hear drip 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 drip.
Dude, that would have been amazing.
That was pretty good.
That would have been the best.
Tony did it better.
This isn't a contest, JJ.
I'm just saying.
Because it was a contest.
Yeah.
Because you know this is one of our.
All right, go.
There you go.
I fucking can't do it. That's why I'm doing it.
Come on.
No.
We're about to cry.
I was going to.
Give me the. All right.
For those of you at home, JJ is going very red.
Yeah.
You put me on the spot, man.
All right. All right. So, yeah. Anyway, he upgraded a Super Famicom live on the spot. Yeah. And basically, by ripping off Velcro Famicom thing and putting on the Super Famicom.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome. It was a good time, and we went out that night, had a fucking crazy night.
Yeah.
Until like 6 a.m. and then came back.
I think that's a separate podcast.
Yeah, that probably is. We just did the onsen and then took the bullet train back.
Wow.
We didn't sleep. It was a blast.
I'll put a link to the concert on the show notes.
Yeah,
please. Well. Yeah.
Good call. One developer that was not there, unfortunately, was Vanillaware, who I was kind of hoping would be maybe future times, but. They apparently have been busy because Dragon's Crown.
Yay.
They released a new trailer.
Oh my fucking God.
It looks good, right?
Yes.
It looks good.
So I didn't know this, but George Kamitani worked on the Dungeons & Dragons Capcom games.
No shit.
Yes.
So that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and that's why this game is very much in the vein of those games.
Side-scrolling,
yeah. Like, RPG sort of.
Speaking of which, aren't those Dungeons & Dragons games going to be coming out on Virtual Console or XBLA or somewhere?
It's XBLA and PSN, not Virtual Console.
Oh, well, that's okay. I have a 360, though.
So. Yeah, and I think they're showing those at PAX this weekend, PAX East. But yeah, like up to four player, Vita, PS3. Thank you, Tom. The Japanese date has been announced, and that's July 25th.
Yep.
Definitely going to be playing that.
Hell fucking yes.
Awesome. It looks so good.
There is a very good chance that's going to line up with Monster Hunter 4, but that I really don't care.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, exactly.
I want this game in my veins.
Lush. This game is like what they invented the word lush.
Yeah.
Lush, yes. Like that.
with
a hard to describe. Yeah.
Although, wait, Tom, what was your nickname for this game?
For this game?
Yeah.
I forget. Please remind me.
Wasn't it you that was like this game? Oh, you mean Booby Witch?
Oh, that's the one. Yeah.
Yes, I think a lot of young boys in Japan and across the world are going to have their kind of awakening, shall we say, to this game.
Yeah.
Yes. The sorceress, I believe, is who you're referring to.
The booby witch?
Yes. Yeah. So George, good old Georgie boy,
yeah.
As you can tell from his, has a couple interests, one of which are well-endowed women, shall we say.
Yeah.
And you can look at his Christmas cards,
his New Year's
cards.
It's on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every year he sends a very awesome...
Finally, last year was fairly tame.
Yeah, he's not hiding
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, because the year before that, it was like a naked woman with like pipes coming out of her.
Yeah, it was like three naked women.
So by tame, you're saying it was three schoolgirls, one of which was lifting up her shirt and said like... press start or something near her area.
She wasn't naked in previous years.
But then, okay.
It was suggestive.
Even in the new trailer, there are like naked women in it.
Yeah.
For the most part, naked women. Well, sort of. Like, you can see everything.
I've seen it all.
Everything.
You could see
everything. Sound like it's turned into like a 13-year-old.
Yeah. No, but you know, that's kind of like a thing about this game is like I kind of want to play as the sorceress, but I don't know if I can.
I wonder why.
I don't know if you can take it.
Well, I like magicians and like I don't know.
This is your building.
I'll probably end up playing.
To tell your wife. You don't have to tell us the excuses. Your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'll probably end up
practicing.
Save it for her.
Yeah.
Okay? JJ, what are the two big reasons you like her?
I, you know, like, besides her boobs, I just, I like her, like, kind of, like,
her,
you
attitude,
know.
JJ.
Well, it's like she's a witch, but she's
her
like
personality.
She's,
you like her personality.
She's like a witch that lives in like the red light district. I kind of like that.
What?
Yeah,
he's all about that. All right. Anyway, I think the test for this game for me, like the lasting power of it, so to speak, is going to be like the RPG elements.
Yeah.
Like what I still don't know actually what that's going to
right.
be.
There's very little we actually know about the gameplay.
Right.
This is a multiplayer game though, right?
Oh yes. Yeah. Up to four people.
And they're really going to try and position it against Monster Hunter?
Well,
like,
I mean,
similar times?
They're not positioning it against it. This is definitely like, you know, it's a totally different kind of game. And
Monster Hunter comes out in summer, and that could mean July or August.
Right, yeah. So we don't know Monster Hunter dates, so yeah. They're sticking their claim. I'm definitely excited about that. I think that could sell to the Castle Crasher audience, too.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, it's different enough, but it looks, you know, similar enough to really get their interest. Mm. In tragic news, I was going to lead with this
so
news,
heartbroken.
But I couldn't bring myself to say it. White Knight Chronicles servers going offline.
No!
In June, we knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
Don't cry.
That's
my
right.
Precious. Wipe your tears.
June 18th,
my white
Sony
night
Computer
tears.
Entertainment America announced it today on the community forums. Georama System, JJ, gone for good. That includes both White Knight Chronicles and the award-winning White Knight Chronicles 2.
Yeah.
the latter of which was not published by Sony, but by D3 Publisher. Thank you, Polygon.com and Mike Porter. Whoops. By the way, most of our news comes from Polygon.com.
Joystick.
Other stuff from Joystick, Kotaku, NeoGAF. Thank
Giant
you guys
Bomb.
All. Giant Bomb. In happier news, starting up, finally, rather than winding down, is... We called it Pokemon NFC. Wasn't that hard to call,
right.
to be honest. But near-field communication with Pokemon figures. Finally, the first Nintendo Wii U use of...
But oh, so is, wait, Skylanders?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, Skylanders with Pokemon. Announced for Japan only so far. About $2. You buy a figure. First set is like 6 of them. Of course, the carry case is also another... Whoever did this is not got their exchange rates right, but that's about $8.
Mm-hmm.
For the carry case, March 24th. So, wow, like happening. And yeah. Only at Pokemon Centers, and it's a capsule machine. So,
right.
like,
but this is so weird. Like, A, yeah, it's only at Pokemon Centers. And B, this is a download title with like very little fanfare. There's no like E3 press conference. Hey, this is finally how we're going to do it. It was just all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, there's.
Not going to matter. Not going
to
matter.
Yeah. Why are they even doing it? Because, I mean, like, if you're going to make figures, that requires you to, like, you know, spin up factories to make molds.
So here's my thing.
I'm guessing it's a test, but.
Well, yeah, I think.
Well, you can't test something if no one knows about it.
It's not, no. So the test, I guess, is a bad phrasing of at least my thinking of it. It works, again, with the downloadable title Pokemon Rumble U. You can get the characters in the game normally. You don't have to have it, but you can't upgrade their abilities unless you have the ones that you buy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think that it's probably like a start off and get people talking about it and excited about it. Get them to the Pokemon Center, like Mecca, and get the whole kind of crazy core fans talking about it that are going to go to a Pokemon Center. And then it will release wide and be like a thing. And
I suppose so. I suppose, like, at least in Japan, it being, you know, especially in cities like Tokyo, being as dense as it is, Kuchikomi, or, you know, just word of mouth goes a long way, like it doesn't back in the West.
Yeah. Right.
But be that as it may, I mean, it wouldn't hurt them to at least kind of say, hey, come to the centers. We've got this new thing.
Yeah. A lot of kids take the trip, and this was revealed in Jump, I think.
That's what I was going to say. They announced it in Jump, which is a pretty huge megaphone.
Yeah, that's big then.
Right.
Never mind.
And that's how they normally do that's how they do with the Pokemon stuff.
They do. Or was it in Korokoro? Maybe. I don't know.
But it's probably written here. It was in Korokoro.
Oh, okay, yeah. Korokoro is the Pokemon. Thing.
But, you know, I think this will definitely go wide sooner rather than later. I think it's just start off and get people like buzzing and excited about it.
Do you think maybe Miyamoto's new IP will have it'll be like an NFC kind of deal?
You say that like there's just one Miyamoto new IP.
I want to say there is one. I mean, he can't be making like a whole bunch, right?
What are you talking about? He's always making a whole bunch. Right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Am I steamrolling you, or is that what you really agree
Stop
with?
Stop steamrolling me, bro!
I'm going to have to ask you every time, are you really backing down?
No,
or are you
just
backing down?
Okay. I don't...
It's all right.
I don't know, but typically he only... maybe he's working on a lot, but he'll only release one.
will only release one.
Because, like, what, you know,
Pikmin. You mean? What do you mean?
No. I mean, like, the last new IP he released was Pikmin, right?
The last new IP that Miyamoto himself worked on was probably not. No. Wii Fit and
was that all him?
That kind of shit.
Did he do Nintendogs? Was that his IP?
I mean, he touches all of these things. He was more associated
with Pikmin. But I'm talking about where Miyamoto's like, I'm not talking about
scale,
all that crap.
Man. He was on that scale, weighing himself, Reggie. Keeping track. Anyway, this is a weird conversation to get into, but let's go back to Nintendo in general. They lost a lawsuit over a 3DS patent, about $30 million. This guy who said that he showed them the technology.
The 3D.
With
the
glasses. Worked at Sony.
Worked at Sony. Filed the patent in 2003, which is crazy early.
But wait a minute. I don't know if I remember this correctly, but I thought that the 3D technology came from Sharp.
Yeah,
so I believe that's what they thought. Okay. So I don't know where this money is going to eventually come from, but he got the patent in 2008. The one thing is, Nintendo did say they will fight it. So with this kind of thing, I guess you never know for years and years if it quietly ever actually happens and the guy actually ever gets paid.
Yeah, I do like that this guy actually made the patent and it's not like a fucking patent troll. And if it does bear out, I think it's pretty cool for him. I feel this is like,
who knows?
Maybe, I don't know.
Really the right side of this thing.
But doesn't it say he did go and show it to them? Like, he was
saying that as part of the lawsuit.
Where is this court battle playing out? Is it here in Japan?
That's a good question. The award was in dollars. It was in $30 million. I don't know if they just transferred or something. It doesn't mention in the story,
because
unfortunately.
I'm just thinking that, like, I think, you know, copyright and trademarks and all that type of stuff would play out a little bit differently in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
I've heard that it does play out differently here. Yeah, I don't know. I forget if it's better or worse than in America, but still in Nintendo news, happier Nintendo news, at least if you work at Nintendo or at one of their contractors that worked on this game. Fire Emblem Awakening sold more than 180,000 in the first month.
Yeah, I heard the game's pretty good.
And that's the best first month sales in franchise history.
History.
Nintendo America selling, over a third of that was digital sales. Maybe because somebody, Bill Trinan, didn't print enough fucking games.
Yeah, fucking Bill Trinan, go to the fucking printer.
I heard they were going to make 500,000. Bill Trinan's like, no. Don't worry about that. 8-4 is working on the game. Don't print that many of them. Don't Steam that many of them. Don't, you know, press
and now and now Mark is steamrolling Bill Trinan.
Many of them. No, I'm kidding. But that's awesome. Super happy. Hopefully that game is going to have like a long tail too. Just because.
Be that as it may, though. I mean, like, has Nintendo been having problems actually just putting out physical product lately? I mean, I believe I've heard this story before. Was it
so
Animal Crossing?
That was Animal Crossing, and that was apparently because of the specific cartridge.
Yeah.
This was, and they ended up getting supply. This, I think, was like a supply line thing.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know that I would have. And I mean, I knew it was a great game, but how much it was going to sell, they probably printed more, and this is just me totally guessing that this was what the constraint was, but it was just on estimates. But they still did print more than that game has probably ever printed in the first month because it outsold it, right?
Well, the
and they did have the digital sale safety valve.
Other games have sold more than this. It's just I think it's
eventually
faster. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's a big first month for the franchise, but there are people who are sort of theorizing that maybe this was sort of Nintendo trying to push like digital more and sort of purposefully undershipping.
Yeah,
but
I hear those kind of conspiracy theories. It's the same thing where people are like, you know, they didn't make many Wiis to like push demand and stuff like that because by less somehow they're going to sell more. And, you know, I don't know enough to say for sure really either way, but that kind of stuff, especially with Fire Emblem, that kind of smacks to me as like, really? You're going to, they know that you're going to lose some people who are just not going to buy it digitally. So I think it did turn into a nice positive for them that this is selling so well digitally. I wonder what the best.
Still glad to hear that,
digital sale. I wonder what the best digital selling 3DS game is.
It'll probably be Animal Crossing, whatever it is.
Probably will be, once that happens.
It's over like half a million.
Sadder Wii U news in the UK, or I guess happier if you live there. is that the Wii U bundles dropped in price, at least on Amazon UK.
This is actually a few retailers.
Okay.
In the UK, Nintendo don't really set as strict prices.
Right.
Retailers are free to set it. Right. So I think so far it's Amazon, Asda, which is owned by Walmart. Then Shop2, which is a big online retailer. And so this is basically a retailer-led price drop.
But that whole concept even sounds weird to me.
Well, I mean, knowing that, doesn't that kind of mean that they're just trying to clear out?
Well, so real quick, it's down from £250, just to give you like a relative. So it's about 20% price drop down to 200.
How many is that in kilos?
And yeah, they're saying it's being sold at a loss now by them. I mean, and even Nintendo, Iwata said that they were selling below manufacturing cost even at the original price. So, and Iwata said in January that there was not an official price drop planned. So
it is worth noting, though, that anyone who lives in the UK will know that games in general in the UK often drop in price crazily fast.
Right. Oh, right.
Like you can pick games up pretty cheap, pretty quick.
Mm hmm. It's a super tough market. Well, it's becoming that almost everywhere outside of Japan, it seems like. Finally, in Nintendo news, speaking of Miyamoto and speaking of Pikmin, they're doing a little, some digital shorts, it sounds like. A cartoon series is what they're calling it.
Like Pixar shorts?
Animated shorts. You know, does it say here? My image of it was, my idea was, yeah, CG animated videos.
Oh, I was thinking like 2D. Cell animated.
No, he used
that requires
Miyamoto,
way more manpower.
Miyamoto used 3DS's Flipnub Studio, I guess, to like mock up samples of it, but that might be what you're thinking of. Oh. So here in Japan, there's actually, when you go to the movie theater in Toho Cinemas anyway, one of the pre-movie things has Pikmin running around, right? Have you guys seen this?
Yeah. No, actually, I haven't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I go to 109 Cinemas.
Oh, so. Well, la-di-da.
Warner Michael for me.
Well, la-di-frickin-da. It's just the 109 side of the table over there. You guys and your...
What up?
Fucking
Saitama. I'm representing Saitama.
Anyway... Yes, they're considering selling them, giving them away. They're not sure. You're going to look at them on the 3DSs. I guess it's going to use
3D. Whatever happens, they'll be on YouTube in 10 minutes.
Probably. Although kind of crappily because it's a 3DS thing. So anyway, you know, they created that short that opened at a 3DS press conference, which was like a mix.
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember they were crawling around in his coat and stuff like that. So it's going to come out before the game, before Pikmin 3. Which still does not have a good damn date.
I can't wait for Pikmin the novel. Like they do for Halo. And
Jesus.
The dark side of Pikmin.
I want to see the cross-media franchise.
I want to see Pikmin the origin story.
Well, they also said they're going to do it to other Nintendo franchises. Recent, relatively new video game franchises.
Oh, nice.
So what would you like to see? Your Dinosaur Planet?
Nintendogs?
Metroid? Like seriously, Metroid?
Like Metroid would be cool.
But that's not relatively recent.
Fiction. What if Wario? Something Wario related?
Really? Do you want to be seeing a lot of Wario? Could be funny as like a no five dialogue, minutes? Like Three Stooges like kind of thing.
Lots of boogers.
Speaking of boogers, Dead Island Riptide is not coming to Wii U. This is more bad Wii U news, and Saints Row 4 also not coming. So these kind of know what we would have thought as kind of duh, no-brainer.
Yeah.
Kind of, okay, it's coming out on all, quote, current-gen systems games are starting to not come out, or I guess continuing to not come out on Wii U. Besides, they had that, you know, that spurt of Ubisoft.
Isn't this a problem where they've already started development and then it's just like, you know, Wii U wasn't in the initial plans, so they just aren't porting it?
Well, I mean, Wii U should have been in the plans for the last at least 2 years, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
right.
We've known about it for that long. So, so that's one thing. And two, if it's the next system, even if it's just a step up, shouldn't it just be, I mean, the kind of idea that I think a lot of us had was, oh, well, this is just like pushing a button. I mean, it's like...
But apparently the engine would need to be rewritten according to Dead Island.
Yeah, that, I don't know
producer.
If I want to get into too much specific words there.
Alexander Toplansky.
First of all, because his name is that. I don't know if it was translated or whatever. But second of all, because like that you could read into that a million different ways. What it says to me is that whatever else, it's not worth it to them to publish on Wii U. Whatever the amount of pain in the butt it is to make is not worth putting out, which I think we all thought was going to be super low to effort. Even if Wii U didn't sell great at first, it's like, well, we might as well put it out on that. We already got the marketing push for the other versions. We're already multi-platform. We're not getting any money from anybody. Let's just put it out on the other system. It's an easy port that we can just, you know, take the Xbox version and freaking port it because the Wii U is more powerful. We don't even have to get, you know, clever with how we code it. But that is apparently not the case.
I wonder if this means that the Wii U is kind of difficult to develop for.
I don't know, but I mean, or just people aren't bothering because I mean, you know, the stuff I'm hearing about stuff like Assassin's Creed and stuff like that too is that the Wii U version is not even the best.
Or it could just be that, like, you know, people are looking at the controller and being like, what do we do with this? I don't know. Let's not half-ass it like we did with the Wii. So let's just not do it at all.
Some people have said as much. But to me, that's even a polite way of saying the same thing, which is like, you know, if it was financially worth it for them, you damn well better believe they would just throw the map on the, you know, their artistic integrity or whatever. They'll just throw the fucking map on the thing.
These are the guys that made the decapitated, delimbed woman, bloody woman.
The zombie bust.
The bikini. Well,
I'm not sure it was them personally. Exactly.
They okayed it.
But I think the worrying thing for this is that, you know, usually you get this at the start of generation with like sort of cross-gen titles.
Right.
And they know it won't sell well, but they're doing it to build like a fan base. And this is kind of like...
Or they're doing it to appease the publisher that they see as being powerful and influential in the future.
Yeah, and to me this just feels like sort of, especially with Saints Row, that there's... Because we know there will be future Saints Row titles and probably Dead Island. And it feels like they're kind of coming out and saying like, yeah, you know what, future titles probably not going to be there either. We're not trying to build this fan
base. This is, I think, a bad sign of things to come.
I think it's just a bad, it's a vote of no confidence in Wii U. It's a vote of we're all taking a, it's not even wait and see even. Wow. It's like we're going to, excuse me, say no until it is for sure worthwhile to say yes.
Or
it's not even a like
never say
hedge
yes.
your bets by putting some stuff out on it.
Yeah.
So
worrisome to say.
Yeah, we need more third party support. And basically, they just need those games. They need the platinum games, and they need Pikmin to get out there. They need the first party titles to start driving it. Hopefully, Monster Hunter does a little something. But even Monster Hunter.
Well, there is no Monster Hunter for Wii U. Oh, you're talking in America. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a Monster Hunter for Wii U.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I thought you were talking about in the future post Pikmin.
I see. So talking about next gen. Rumor, next Xbox won't run games from the disk drive.
Durango.
Yeah, there you go. So this apparently
that's the Durango theme.
Is the from the platform's XDK, the like early the development kit for the next Xbox.
That's pretty crazy that leaked. That's kind of bad.
So here's the thing though. So all it really says, what I read out of it is, okay, it's saying that it implements different power states so that it can always be powered on even when it's quote unquote off.
Right.
Will draw minimal electricity when not in use. This sounds like what they were talking about with the original Wii.
Yeah.
So this is so that it can be ready instantly when users want to play. You turn it on and it's just on. And then it immediately, quickly boots up. This goes in line with some of the other stuff I've heard about it. So I definitely believe this stuff. And I guess they showed scans, so you should believe it. The other thing is
screenshots.
Yeah. We'll always maintain a network connection so that console software and games are always current. So maybe downloading patches on its own.
Right.
I would hope it at least asks you to apply them since some patches can screw shit up.
The point of contention with this is,
Steam, right?
The wording definitely doesn't make it sound like... It definitely does not say there that it cannot... It cannot be online.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. It never says that there's no way to play a game unless it's online.
But that's still up in the air.
All it goes on to say, it also says it has a new high fidelity Kinect sensor required.
So that's true.
Yeah.
That was, you know, the previous leak that had like the always online and no piracy thing also included that Kinect had to be plugged in. So that kind of...
So what I'm...
You sweating a little, Mark?
No, not at all. My new thing is that, you know, they heard this stuff, which I think all makes sense. It makes sense that it would have this always-on feature.
Yeah.
It makes sense that discs would might have to be installed to the hard drive.
But the fact you can't play games off of discs is kind of... I mean, that does lend itself to the no-use game.
It would lend itself to it, but it definitely does not, by any stretch of the imagination, equate. The other thing, you can install fucking games now.
Yeah, but you can. You don't always necessarily have
it
to.
Would be, exactly.
To play it.
But then again, why wouldn't you? Because it speeds up supposedly. Yeah.
Sure,
time,
but maybe sometimes. Well, I don't know. Maybe because there is like maybe you install it and it's locked to your system.
But no, JJ's right. There is also a big difference in choosing to install something and like putting the disc in and like, oh God, I have to install this.
Yeah.
Like,
no, there is.
Well, and actually,
and I'm not 100% sure why they would require you to install it to your hard drive if they were not going to do some kind of thing with the.
Are you starting to kind of doubt though?
I'm sticking to what I said, which was if they were to do that, it would be commercial suicide.
Right.
They would be complete idiots and they're not that stupid. So if it happens, the thing that I'm wrong about is that they are actually that stupid and that they are going to commit commercial suicide.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think people on the internet are pretty quickly starting to turn on Microsoft every time they see new information about the Durango. And, the always it has to be installed thing is very troubling to
me. But you were saying you couldn't see a reason why you have to install it without blocking use game type thing.
Well, no, I'm not saying that it has, like,
I'm saying
there's 100%.
Go ahead.
But as in, there is a benefit to making it mandatory to install, which is that then you have developers specifically knowing, oh, everyone will be installing this. Let's optimize the game for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the 360 initially started having games like being able to install,
right,
you had games like Halo 3 where actually installing it made it much worse, right, because they had programmed it like without that in mind.
Right. But let's say, but why require it? Even so, well, if you optimized it for the install solution, let's say playing off the disc is the shittier experience, why not still allow it for the whatever percent of people who don't have enough hard drive space, run out of hard drive space, unless it's some other thing where it's like, okay, we have to be able to, our patch system only works this way, and so I don't know. I don't know what it would be.
It could also be with maybe they're going to do these background updates where your system is always on and it's just the game is installed and it knows.
It just sounds like DRM to me.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm wondering about. It's like, does it say anywhere in that brief that why it must be they have to run everything off of this? Because if it's about DRM, then you have all these other questions come in.
It sounds
about
a lot like DRM. I mean, like,
controlling
even if it's not,
content and like basically trying to figure out ways that they can actually, you know, get stuff onto the system, you know, without DRM is not really about protecting against piracy. It's more about giving the publishers and whatever, you know, big companies is in control of the hardware, control over how you access and how you consume the content.
Right.
And that's worrisome.
Yeah.
Well, for about piracy, though, right? To combat piracy.
Well, no, but I mean, like, look at SimCity. Like,
that's why SimCity is
a disaster.
Requires you to be online. Is, well, while they're not coming right out and saying it, presumably,
right?
I mean, they have artistic reasons
and it's worked out pretty great
it just
for them.
Kind of right, works out. Yeah, I mean, none of us. I don't think anybody here is saying it's a great idea.
Yeah,
doing it, but yeah, but I don't understand why, if they're going to make mandatory that you have to be online, which I think is also a dumb, stupid mistake, then why that would still mean that you have to install it and can't play off a disc. I mean, it could let you play off a disc, but just check the same way, you know, to authenticate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever. All right. Let's move on.
We shall see.
Let's move on to Final Fantasy X HD, which, yes, it's apparently still coming out. This is going to come with Final Fantasy X-2 HD as well for free because nobody would buy it otherwise except for Shane Bettenhausen.
That's only on PS3.
On PS3. For Vita, they're going to be sold separately.
Right.
So
there goes another one of Vita's exclusives.
Yeah, that's kind of a big blow to Vita. Like, that was one of
a big blow?
When you
Vita?
Ask people
Think
what's coming out for Vita this year, the first thing they always say is, well, Final Fantasy X HD. Oh, and it's going to PS3. But now it's like, oh, Final Fantasy X HD, and you get half the game. Like, you know, you're getting one of two games.
Yeah. PlayStation 4, another Sony news. Suda51 says it makes him horny. All that power, he's excited about it. Somebody else who's excited about it is your boy, JJ. Akihiro Hino.
You know, CEO that dude needs, level 5. He needs to take a really long vacation, get some color back into his face. And
in the meantime, he says, and I quote, I have a strong interest in MMORPGs. That's a genre level 5 hasn't been involved in much up to now, but I'd like to try making a rich, high-quality game that makes the most of the hardware specs.
I just got chills.
Yes. And this is a question asked about, like, what do you think about the PS3? This is kind of coming out of left field.
Yeah.
PS4. Which says to me that this is just like, I'm just going to use this opportunity to actually tease our next thing that
right.
we've been working on. True Fantasy Live Online 2014, believe.
Yeah.
I can't believe there was no Suda51 big boner joke there. Come on.
Oh, that's right. Well, maybe he probably doesn't even know that's what it's called in the game.
Tom's favorite series, Harry Potter. Pottermore coming to
Harry
PlayStation
Potter.
Home. In April, this is
our
recently missing PlayStation Home section of the podcast.
Mark, I don't know if you actually saw how this is being implemented, but you can walk around in the world of Harry Potter. You
Fuck
can
yeah.
go down Diagon Alley without having to go to Florida.
Fuck yeah.
You guys love Home, right?
Fuck yeah. Can I dance while some dude pretends to be
You could
one
probably ride a
me?
Broomstick and dance.
Okay. Can I have like a house that looks like it's in Miami filled with shitty arcade games?
And all your trophies that you can show to your friends.
I suppose that's good news. If it gets Harry Potter fans onto Home, like, let's just like
why spend
show,
why
let that freak show
what PR company thought that this would be worth the money?
Sony, who also helps fund Pottermore.
Wow, that makes total sense.
What else Sony is doing is actually the Vita sold all right for a couple weeks there. We talked about the sales for the first week
after the price drop
last episode, and now this week the week after Soul Sacrifice came out, which sold a pretty damn good, like, what was it all told, like 130k. That's adding up the single seller and the double pack, both. And as a result, presumably, or maybe it was that and still the price drop, the Vita outsold the PS, the 3DS, 63,000 to 61. I mean, it was neck and neck, but and that's a normal week for the 3DS. That's a crazy good week, about 5-6 times what the Vita will normally sell.
It is worth mentioning as well, I believe that's the first time the Vita has ever outsold the 3DS,
except for
because its launch week was Monster Hunter, and it's
they did that to them, didn't they? Those
and actually,
I thought the same thing.
This was supposed to be. You know, Soul Sacrifice was supposed to come out the same week as Monster Hunter 4,
right?
And then Monster Hunter 4, like, so if in Monster an alternate Hunter universe, 4. We would not be like, oh yeah, the Vita's doing great. We'd have been like, oh my fucking god, what happened to the Vita? But now, like, you know, the absence of Monster Hunter 4, I'm kind of feeling Vita's starting, like, the
people are talking about Phantasy
the
Star
kindling
Online 2,
is been lit
at least here in Japan. Friends of ours are playing it here on the Vita. Who knows if that will ever come out, continue our PSO2 watch in the West. I'm making these up because you're not doing them anymore.
Oh, okay. PS2.
But
I don't know.
But real quick on that side note, still no update, supposed to come out in spring, no date, no nothing.
Yeah,
where the hell is it? I'm starting to lose interest. If it doesn't come out before Monster Hunter 4 comes out, I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, the week after, Vita sales cooled down a little bit, down to about half that, 36,000. Meanwhile, 3DS is back up to 70. So, yeah, Wii U still struggling mightily. About 10,000 a week. Here in Japan too,
you've got
real good
Game and Wario and Dragon Quest X coming out, and you're kind of hoping
isn't there some crow eating possibly?
Oh yeah, when we get to the Nintendo section, I believe.
I don't think it's here. You might have to just say it now, because we're not gonna
Tom, don't you know the news?
Dragon Quest X a whole lot.
Because you're European.
I believe what this was that it was found that Amazon France had...
That's Amazon. Sorry.
Yes, okay.
Wait, what was the other thing that you said the other day? Do you remember while we were in line? Re-something.
Oh, I'll think about it and I'll get back to you on that one later, but I do know what you're talking about.
Please do.
So, you've completely derailed me here.
All right.
So, Amazon France had listed a version of Dragon Quest X for the Wii U that apparently had a PEGI rating for it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. And it's only France. Right. It's only France.
I mean, though, when they bring games out in Europe, don't they actually have them like in multiple languages? Because that's one thing I remember from getting.
Well, indeed, yeah, they have to be. Indeed, you are correct, sir.
You have to. Splash screen starts up. Choose your language.
That, Operation Rainfall sometimes. Might have to get in gear. You might have to stoke the coals.
But
dust off the angry email list. The letterhead to Reggie.
It is worth mentioning that some people have been saying maybe this was just a mistake and it was an import version.
No, I'm having fun with it. We just still don't know anything at all, but it's right. A little maybe
Amazon
glimmer of
doesn't
hope.
Deal in import games, does it?
I think I'm not sure if it was maybe people suggesting that it was like a used like a secondhand seller type thing. Okay. I think, but.
We got more important things stuff to talk about. In other Mark was right news, the $10 PSN credit was to select active PSN
users. No, this is a separate one, which I've added because you told me that I'm an intern and should remind you.
Yes. Yes.
This is PSN users who are like the most active.
Right.
They did they this. They have been given. This is an extra thing.
The first one was to everybody.
No.
Yes.
No. Yes. This is the second one.
Mark, yes.
You
no.
should go and
no.
turn on your PS3 and
no,
check.
No, I don't believe you.
It's
I
there.
Don't believe any of you. No.
But now you know.
But yeah,
so check your goddamn PS3.
So what is this? $10 more?
It's to the most active users, which
what constitutes most active?
People have been guessing that maybe it's to do with like how many trophies you earn and things like this.
Yeah, well then maybe
Whoa,
you won't get that.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I wouldn't see that as being active, just you know.
Well, I mean you're playing a lot of games.
But sometimes people are bad. And don't get trophies.
That's true. I play a lot of
don't deserve
I play a lot of games, but I do not give a shit about trophies. So
yeah, me neither. Mm. What you do give a shit about is early access to awesome video games on Steam.
Woo!
Which now with Valve early access games, you can buy them or play them for free, depending on what they are, and give feedback and kind of they're basically systemizing the
Minecraft
model kind of thing of we're going to put something out and get user feedback and build it based on that.
A lot
That's pretty
of,
cool.
Yeah, a lot of PC games are doing that now, basically selling like, what is it, alpha access? Not even beta, just alpha access.
Right.
I have alpha access to Prison Architect, which is really fun.
Wow, I don't even know what that is. What is that, like a SimCity kind of thing?
Well, have you played like introversion games like Def Con and Darwinia?
That I know about. But.
Yeah, well, those guys. They're making a prison sim game.
Okay. You know what I heard the other day is that you can predict where prisons are built based on the test scores of third graders, or
Whoa.
That's what prison
that's
city planners do.
Really pessimistic and
really
awful.
Wait, where?
Depressing. I don't have nothing more to say about it except for that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you Google that, maybe it'll come up. But I did read it from a good source.
That's if you Dorito that.
Yeah, Dorito the hell of that. Other stuff that kind of maybe leaked out from the Steam database, dug up from some of our friends at NeoGAF, listings for things like The King of Fighters 13, Castle of Illusion, and Strider.
And then in the next page,
Mortal Kombat, Skulls of the Shogun, Pinball FX2 are also listed. Yeah, and there's like some art for this Strider kind of thing that might be something.
I believe that was found on Xbox.com or
be something. Yeah.
I really want a new Strider game, but I don't want. I want
Bionic
to be,
Commando Rearmed of Strider.
Yeah.
Robot Gorillas
with really cool art. And
that was
cartwheels.
In the works at some point, but I honestly don't know if that's what this is or if it's a mistake or if that's still going on or fuck if they're going to announce it this weekend at PAX East.
Yeah.
But what is announced is Fez is going to come to pretty much everything, starting with PC on May 1st, then Mac, Linux, Vita, Ouya, and iOS version. Vita, I guess, is in the works. They're looking into it. But
Vita would be a really good platform for this game.
Mm. I agree. 3DS, apparently not. And Phil Fish said on a Reddit, Ask Me Anything, that he didn't even think it would work well.
Well, no, there was like a better quote. I think he said he wasn't even thinking about it. Or I don't know.
Well, he said it was isometric already and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. Everyone says it would work great, including me, said that and thought that. But he's saying, like, I'm not sure how.
Well, there was another quote later on where he says it'll probably be on everything eventually.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, I'm hoping that it does come out on 3DS.
Yeah.
I would not mind to have, I would not mind having that game on more than my Xbox.
Right.
Back to Valve. It's grown about 50% in the last year, which is fucking crazy. He's saying there's an insatiable demand for gaming right now. That's Valve head Gabe Newell.
Gaben.
People like cats.
The other crazy thing, last Dota 2 update, we were generating 3.5 terabits per second. He said that's about 2% of all the mobile and land-based internet activity.
Good Lord. At this rate, we'll never see Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Like, why do we even need to make it?
Nope. Yep.
Or when you get Half-Life 3, they'll all be wearing, like, top hats. And
speaking of PC stuff, Richard Garriott says most game designers really just suck.
Do you want
to talk about this?
Richard Garriott has two rat tails. Okay, let's just leave it at that, okay?
Yeah, I think one thing that in seeing all this stuff, the larger quote, just to go through it, he like name checks some guys. He's like, other than a few exceptions, like Chris Roberts, he names a bunch of people who are like 10, 15 years
old. His friends.
Old. Yeah. Chris Roberts, Wing Commander fame. He named a couple other people too, like Sid Meier and stuff like that. No one in industry who I think is as close to as good a game designer as I am. I'm not saying that because I think I'm so brilliant. What I'm saying is I think most gamers really just suck, and I think there's a reason why. What he goes on to say is, like, people who are good, who are smart, do programming. People who are talented do art. People who can't do either QA and then do game design, which is pretty fucking shitty way of looking at things.
Yeah.
And, of course, pissed off everyone.
Twitter. The guy did make Ultima, so he does have a little streak.
Okay, he did make Ultima 5, which is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But he did do that quite a long time ago. Yes. He did also make Ultima 7 and 8, and I'm sorry, people, but no.
He also made Tabula Rasa, was it?
He worked on EVE Online and some stuff. So, but I think what other people have been saying back to this is like, well, okay, 90% of games are kind of crap, and so by extension, 90% of game designers are kind of crap.
Yeah, I mean,
and so, you know, maybe he's just saying that way. But I don't know. When you actually read the statement, it's pretty much just pretty shitty. And I haven't seen anything where he, like, came out and said I was misquoted or anything like that. But I don't know if we need to talk about it too much other than that. It's like, the guy probably hasn't played a whole lot of games looking at his Kickstarter things.
Tending to his rat tails.
Last 10 years, his zero grab. Rat tail floating in the space is JJ's dream as he flies in through the window.
I'm gonna make a game about rat tails.
The SimCity thing is another thing that's been totally talked to death by other people. You know, I think the internet as a whole overestimates how much I really care about SimCity. Right. I know there's a lot of stuff wrapped into this about online and offline games and DRM and patches
Arthur Geese,
a million different things. It's become this perfect storm of shit for people. Yeah. Hubris and fucking, I think it is funny the way that the AI works in SimCity now that people are figuring out, where it's just like people leave their houses, go to the first closest job, and then come back via the first open house that they can find. So it's like, you know, did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. So it's not like, it's like your Sims will all have their own little lives.
Right.
But it's like they basically just, the first bus they can get on to the first house that's open, not even the house that they left from that morning.
Wow. Which
is the first house that's open. Yeah, it all works that way. Well, whatever. I don't know.
It does create some funny situations as well where people are talking about how if there's a crime, every single police car will go to this one crime, even if there's another one happening.
Oh, really?
And then when the first one gets there, they will all snake off to the next one.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Apparently they're fixing stuff and moving stuff around, and a lot of people really liked the game before the problems came out. And
yeah,
stuff.
It got good reviews till it actually came out.
Crimson Dragon is, quote, not far from a final build.
Oh, really?
It says Microsoft will announce it when they're ready, says the aforementioned Futsugi-san at the Bit Summit, I believe that was. Ron Gilbert is no longer at Double Fine. We don't really need to talk about that. He's doing his own thing. It sounds amicable. Patrice, the Assassin's Creed guy, is back at Ubisoft.
Got Jeff Greened.
You got Jeff Greened. That's right. He left and then got folded back. Now, this is interesting, especially to our listeners. Drakengard 3, a.k.a. Dragon Dragoon, which has to be one of the five greatest game names of all time. that's the Japanese version of the name. Is in development for PS3. This was announced in the Japanese magazine Famitsu.
There were some screenshots.
But
this, what type of game? What would you say about this game?
The Dragon Guard series is kind of notorious for being like these dark, crazy games.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have not played the first two, but obviously I've played through Nier, and I've become a fan of Yoko-san,
yes,
who did Dragon Guard and Nier.
Okay.
And so I'm extremely excited for this game, based off of the pedigree. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
It also looks pretty crazy. The main character has a flower for one of her eyes, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saw that art. I actually kind of like the art.
Yeah, me too.
Phantom Pain, speaking of crazy internet shit going on.
Yes.
So the Phantom Pain.
Everybody's got a... Are you team real team CG?
So Joaquin... I'm not even pronounce this. Mogren, basically the fake guy that they set up to be the CEO of this meat game, Moby Dick Studios.
Right.
And it was using the Fox engine, which, lo and behold, that's coincidentally the same thing that Metal Gear is using. There was this interview you should really watch just to see the end of it with Jeff Keighley talking to him and interviewing him or not finding really anything out. Basically just to say, we're going to show more at GDC.
Right.
Coincidentally, just saying, Kojima's giving a keynote at GDC. So,
what are you saying? They're the same game, or like Kojima's involved somehow?
Sorry, internet. I want to believe too. It would be great if it had been CG. That would have been an awesome, awesome idea.
I honestly, but, the motions were too real.
It's not.
I want to believe. I am on Team CG. Let's just put it this way. I'm on Team CG not because I believe it's real. Because
you want to believe.
I want to believe in the magic of the internet and the video game industry.
So, Mark, you are Team Real?
Oh, I mean, I'm not even going to get into teams.
Come on, Mark.
It's not even a question.
Just be...
I want to have fun, too. I think the whole thing's cool. I'm actually not one of the haters. It's like, this is blah, blah, blah. Hey, they're doing something fun. It's a weird little thing. I mean, fucking I Love Bees, really? Like, would you rather it be that fucking stuff?
Yeah, no,
like,
I love this.
Fun.
Yeah.
I do too. But yeah, I don't even think they intended for people to think that. They're probably just sitting back
this
and like,
all 4chan's fault.
Yeah. And I think it's funny that Jeff Keighley hasn't said anything. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? Frankenstick came out. I don't know anything. Jeff Keighley didn't come out and say anything, but I mean, I guess they benefit from it as much as anybody else.
Right.
Kojima also said, hey, you could do stuff via episodic content, which is like, hey, so we were talking about this like in 2000.
Was that 10 years ago?
I don't know, something like that.
Half-Life 2 episode 3.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Damned guy, friend of the show, Massimo Guarnini. I don't know how to pronounce that, but the guy who did it and then moved back to Italy. Basically has another game. He's working with Sony on something.
Yep.
Kind of,
he made Shadows of the Damned
exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
So...
we made Shadows of the Damned cool.
Well, he also
made it.
Yeah.
Double Fine and Cappy, if you're going to PAX East, are teaming up with the pretty cool demos and merchandise.
Yeah.
They have like a $35 bundle that has all this awesome stuff in it. Super excited to see more Super Time Force.
They'll
stuff
have T-shirts
out of PAX.
Kind
of
want one of those T-shirts.
I haven't seen the T-shirt.
They're the Double Fine logo merged with the Cappy Bar logo.
Okay. Yeah. I did see that actually. The cover of the box is cool, too. It's the Cynthian from Sorcery, like, high-fiving the dude from Brutal Legend. Doom 3, no longer coming with my precious, precious Oculus Rift.
Precious.
But
you have one day left for that to arrive before you go to GDC.
I know. It's not going to happen. Oh. That's fine.
So, wait. Can we open it?
No.
Damn.
But it is going to have Team Fortress.
Yeah. Two
support.
Yeah, that's great.
Will it have hat support?
Yeah, maybe.
Which
you'll have to just wear the hat.
You have to buy the hat and wear it.
I don't know. I haven't decided on the wearing it, but I was looking at it today, the unboxing stuff, and I was like, I don't know. I kind of feel weird wearing this after somebody else. It's kind of personal.
What?
Your relationship with your Oculus Rift, JJ, is not like, it's not just any kind of controller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'm holding out hope that it'll actually be delayed until I actually don't get back.
Well, it's at this point, it seems like it might be. We haven't heard anything. So. Yeah.
They did say it was supposed to be the end of this month.
Yeah.
Okay. They have been doing updates, and they said there's going to be a string of updates in the next couple weeks. So.
Cool.
Full F-Zero AX arcade game is on the F-Zero GX GameCube game.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Crazy. I didn't know that.
I wish, you know, this was just recently found, but like, you know, that
recently. It was found last November.
Yeah.
And only recently, like, more came to light from another site posting it. But yeah, Action Replay code, you can actually get to it. The full game. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. F-Zero is like actually 10 years old now.
Yeah.
This one is.
I was in college. And, I thought GX was an awesome game, so I wish I could go
super
back.
Super popular among speedrunners. I was surprised. Yeah. It's actually, I remember at the time, it got good and really, really, really bad reviews.
Yeah, because the game was extremely difficult.
Parts of it are super tough.
Yeah.
And that was one of the, I caught parts of the speedrun. There's some crazy shit that people do with that too. Going to Kickstarter, this is kind of a funny thing. So Kickstarter funded game Kaiju Combat. Which is just like, Kaiju is just like the name for any kind of like monster, Godzilla type.
You might as well just call it monster fights.
Right. It's basically being sued by Wizards of the Coast for infringing on their Kaijudo brand, which is just like saying.
So basically they're pulling a Harmony Gold.
Which
is me referring to basically like the folks who own Robotech.
Right.
And like anytime someone tries to bring over anything related to Macross to like the States, like a game or whatever.
This is even more than that.
It's like, nope, stop.
This is almost more like a Elder Scrolls.
This is Edge.
Well, yeah, this is Edge.
Or the Edge guy where you can't even use the word Edge.
Kaiju is a word.
Yeah.
In Japanese, it means monster.
Yeah.
You cannot go out and copyright the word monster.
I think this is something that people don't copyrighted it didn't understand.
Hang on a second. Kaiju Combat, is it a video game?
It is, right?
Yes.
Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters, that type of brawler.
What is Wizards doing getting into... I mean, like...
What is Kaijudo? I actually don't know what Kaijudo is.
I'm guessing it's monster fighting because Kaijudo, like Taekwondo...
But is it like a card battle game? It's not a video game.
Yeah, because when I think of Wizards, I think of Magic.
Yeah,
and right.
I could have swore that there was like, you know... who's the guy behind Wizards? Richard Garfield? There was a famous quote a long time ago about him talking, like smack talking on... video games.
Right.
I'm surprised this even showed up on their radar.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, litigation. Gotta sue.
In other news, Final Fantasy V coming to iOS in Japan this month. How much is it going to cost? Yep, $20. yeah, so.
Good luck with that.
We'll see. They've used to have same-day worldwide releases, but we don't know about this one. I guess they haven't said exactly when. They've just said this month. Excuse me. And back to Kickstarter news, Dive Kick. Pushed back to summer. It's also coming to PlayStation 3 and Vita, which I think is hilarious.
I cannot wait for that game. That's going to be so fun.
Google it if you don't know. It's the one button.
What's a Google?
What's a
Google? Dorito it if you don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
I know what it is, but I can't tell if JJ's being serious when he says it's going to be.
No, I'm very serious.
Serious as a heart attack.
Dude, Dive Kick is.
JJ does not fuck around.
Is going to be top billing at Evo in 2 years.
Called it. It's calling the shot.
Yep.
Other news, just kind of wrapping up other Kickstarter stuff. Skullgirls has a few more days. They're at like 400K.
Yep.
Those are a friend of ours. We
almost 500K.
Almost. Wait.
Wait.
400.
Wait.
No, 500?
Yeah, almost 500K.
Shit, man. Can't blink. And that's
they're 100K faster. Away from having the third character. 120. No, wait.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But give money if you haven't already. Give them the A4 bump. We are involved just in terms of doing music, some more music in that.
Yep.
Other stuff. Friends of the show, Robert Ashley, there's a new Life Well Wasted podcast. I'm super excited to listen to.
I'm halfway through it, but it's great.
I might have to listen. I might have to save that for the flight.
Yeah.
Yes, find that on iTunes.
He put a teaser of the poster out a couple days ago, and it's like of a Sonic ring.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, is it Ollie Moss?
Of course, he does all of the
really
Life Well Wasted poster. Yes.
Well, that explains why it's so awesome. But I was like, oh my god, is this about like Sonic fetishists and stuff like that? Because I would love to hear a podcast about that, but it's about, you know, work and stuff.
It's really called cool. Work. It's a little hard to find which one on the podcast.
It's about how like some...
It's the new one, but...
You know, how people break into the industry, how people like, you know, fall out of the industry and stuff like that.
Cool. And it's got John Romero.
John Romero is one of the people being interviewed.
Dragon's Crown, we already talked about. The Walking Dead game. I don't know if you guys saw this... footage that there's out there. Of
is this the one that got like a 3.5?
Oh, did it get reviewed? No.
Yeah.
I think this is just the first.
Is this the first person shooter?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a review
on the TV show.
Oh, yeah. And it's hilarious. Like even the first 30-minute video, a guy gets bitten. I'm not ruining anything by talking about the first 5 minutes, I hope.
Yeah.
A guy gets bitten, but he's still like helping you. And then it goes to the title sequence, right? And then after the title sequence, you're in a cabin with this guy. Mm-hmm. He's been bitten. You know, obviously, even though your character doesn't,
right,
that he's going to turn into a zombie for sure at some point.
Right.
So before you talk to him, you can go up and grab a hammer. So you go up and grab a hammer, and the guy's like, hey, come over here. We need to talk. And the person playing the game is just sitting there trying to smash his head in with the hammer, but he can't. The game won't let you do it. And he's like, hey, we need to talk. Hey, what's going on? We need to talk. And you can see the guy wordlessly. Of course, the player's talking. He's not narrating it. But you're like, no, you're going to fucking become a zombie. I want to just fucking kill you. The game won't let you do it. It just bounces off him.
Who? Well, when you were designing this game, why didn't you think that was the first thing?
I bet that's flagged as an A bug, and they're just like, bug won't, feet won't fix. Like, yeah, obviously, game does not look very good. Even as a fan of the series, game does not look very good.
Well, in good Walking Dead game news, apparently there's going to be something, I don't know what exactly, Gary Whitta, one of the, lead writers on the Telltale game, saying that there's going to be a little something between seasons 1 and 2 before the second season comes out. For fans to look forward to from Telltale.
They were teasing something. They were asking, like, one of the guys, one of the designers who works on that series was asking, like, hey, is there any, like, other big thing announcing on such and such a day we should know about? Like, is there, like, a Bungie vid doc or something happening that's we're just going to get buried if we announce at the same time? So and I expect more on that. Speaking of announcements, the Bastion guys at Supergiant Games.
Oh, yes.
Friend of the show. Yes. Announced Transistor.
Transistor.
Spiritual successor, it seems like, to Bastion. Looks similar, but in a totally different world.
Pictures and stuff?
There's a video.
Oh, I haven't even seen it. Oh, wow.
Cyberpunk.
Yes. It's like Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk for real.
Looks like his story is going to play a big part, even though there was no narration at all.
There might not be narration, but Logan Cunningham, the voice of Rux in Bastion, is on this project in a, quote, vocal capacity.
Okay, you know your shit. Maybe it's him doing his best woman's voice. Because the main character is a woman.
Oh.
She carries a huge Cloud Strife-esque sword.
Okay.
We know that, at least.
I thought you were going to... She was just holding a large cloud, but... Okay.
That's, saves.
Well, after Bastion, I don't care. Give whatever character a weapon. I know the combat's going to be solid if there's indeed combat in there.
Right.
Game's really good on iPad.
And every other system, which it's come out for many of them. Other Friends of the Show stuff, new issue of Scroll magazine. Check out scroll.vg, Friend of the Show,
on Ray Barnhold. It's about Art Dink.
About Art Dink. Super interesting, weird, fascinating company.
Yeah.
Aquanaut's Holiday, Tale of the Sun.
A-Train.
Take the A-Train. A lot of these weird, quirky, like, a lot of games I was like, oh yeah, they did this and this too. And, Ray really goes deep and researches that stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that you don't find even, like, except in really rare pockets on the internet. But he's doing a lot of stuff that you don't, that's just basically not written out there in English, at least anyway. And really knows his shit. And just a fun, really cool
looking magazine, too.
Yeah. It's just, it's well designed, especially for like such a small operation. Definitely check that out. Special thanks to Kevin Larrabee, who has a Fitcast. You should check that out, too.
He almost apparently killed himself in a car accident because you didn't see that tweet? He was driving his car listening to this podcast and like fell asleep and hit a guardrail.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he tweeted about it. Yeah,
he's okay?
Yeah, he seems okay.
Because he brings us a lot.
Mark!
No, he's a super cool. He's also a really good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, shit, no, I totally missed that.
Yeah, no.
I hope everything's all right. So I guess send your well wishes to Kevin Larrabee on Twitter. That's two R's and two E's. What else? Bioshock Infinite is coming out. I'm fucking excited to play that game.
Yeah.
Not to actually play it at all. I don't even care about the gameplay.
Right.
Which is probably like the biggest compliment I can give it. I actually just want to like, I hate to say like experience it, but like
I'm really
the story.
As like a GFW radio hardcore super fanboy, like I just want to see if
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see if Sean Elliott can like really pull it off, like as his first, you know, game development debut. Well,
and Joe, also another friend of the show, Joe Fielder, who used to work with, actually did some writing.
Oh really?
Yeah. Which I don't know, like the parts that Sean did, I don't know if you'll be able to actually tell or
well, it's like level design, right?
Or whatever. Yeah. He did that kind of, I think, encounter combat design and stuff. But I mean, I wonder, I'm guessing you won't be able to tell as much, but maybe he'll actually say which parts of the game he did.
Yeah, I'd really like to know.
That guy totally knows his shit too. So yeah. I am looking forward to that. I'm not saying combat's going to be bad by any means. I'm sure it'll be fine. Maybe it'll surprise me and actually really engage me, but I'm actually literally looking forward to like both the narrative and how it's told, like what they do in that kind of sense, because they seem like they're swinging for the fences. So
are you going to be staying away from the internet while you're playing that game?
I'm going to be staying away from the internet while I'm not playing it for the next couple weeks, because I'm going to be away between GDC.
Is that coming out here in Japan too? Do we know?
I actually don't. It is coming out here. It's got localized voices and everything, right. But I don't know if it's the same day. I'm guessing I haven't seen stuff for it, so maybe not.
Yeah, I guess it would have been a Famitsu last week.
Right. Okay. So I don't know what else we talked about. Bit Summit, the stuff we're looking forward to. Any other stuff at PAX or GDC you guys are really looking forward to? You suckers who won't be at GDC.
I'll be enjoying a quiet office to myself.
For me, no, nothing that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, you're going to think of something else off the top of your head to end the show while JJ wraps up. Tell the nice people
where they can find us. You can find us on the internet at our website at 8-4.jp. We have a Facebook. Just search for us, 8-4.
Oh, that's another thing. Check out Scroll on Facebook. They have a new Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to like that shit.
I should do that.
5-star iTunes reviews may not be read on the show.
Right. We are on Giant Bomb, our gracious hosts.
4.5 stars, maybe.
Yeah. So
3.5 star, maybe.
Yeah, we have a Twitter, 84Play.
If you're honest.
You're just going to keep interrupting.
If you're honest.
Yeah.
Steamrolling.
If it's well written.
Stop steamrolling me, bro.
All right.
We all have individual Twitters. I'm SPRSK.
Mark MacD.
I'm TAS Tokyo.
Just Tony L.
Wait, TAS Tool Assisted Speedrun?
Thomas Alexander Staniforth.
Oh. Wait, in Tokyo?
Yeah.
So you did that thing. What happens when you move anywhere?
Then there'll be trouble, I guess. You know.
You can change your Twitter name.
Yeah, so. You can. That's true.
I've changed mine once already.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it before?
Kid named Tony.
Uh-huh.
Ask me why I changed it.
Why'd you change it?
I turned 30.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. Not so much a kid anymore.
Yeah, no, there are people online who still use the kid moniker, and it's like, yo, dog, you older than me.
Yeah. So wait, were you just called the kid or kid?
Nah.
Oh.
It's just something like, I was like, what do I, Twitter handle, think of something. Well, Tony L's taken. Kid okay. named Tony.
Got to name add a thing on there. That's cool. Yeah.
And right. So John is at JohnTV.
That's right, and Hiroko is Hiroko84.
Yep.
So yeah, did you talk about Giant Bomb and...
Yeah, Giant Bomb.
Our friends.
There's like a website.
There's a thread on NeoGAF.
Apparently, Patrick was on the latest episode of what is that animated show that we like so much? Archer.
Oh yeah, actually I saw him tweet that, but I didn't watch the show yet.
Patrick is on Archer.
Yeah, he's like in a little drawing of him wearing the hot dog suit is on the floor in this kid's room. Because apparently an animator for the show likes
Giant
Bomb.
Two things I love to death, Archer and Giant Bomb.
Yep, pretty cool.
Wonderful.
Huh? So that's a Tony sandwich.
Hopefully that guy listens to this show.
I don't know. Yeah, so seriously though, thanks for listening. Tell a friend. Don't feel bad if you skip next week because JJ will probably be hosting. Definitely come back in a month. I'm just kidding.
I know.
I know you guys will do awesome. You always do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe talk more about Monster Hunter, even though I really want to talk about it when I get back.
We probably won't because
I'll talk higher level.
I mean, I'm not playing the English.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But say hi if you see us at GDC. Thanks as always for everybody for saying nice things at the show. Talk about the stuff you heard here on NeoGAF or 8-4 Giant Bomb. We always read all the feedback and super appreciate everybody helping on. out. You help just by listening.
Yeah.
JJ.
Oh.
The nice people.
Yeah.
Help us just by listening.
Yep.
So with that, and let us know what you think of our two fresh-faced new interns. Can you tell their voices apart, for one thing?
Yes.
And we'll give you one final sample to help you out. If not, why don't you each give your closing argument, your closing phrase, and we'll let the people decide which one is which one's better.
So I guess my closing argument will just be, it's nice to have some European representation on the podcast.
All right. That's the way you want to go. You're going to try to curry favor with the hometown crowd.
Boo.
We do have a lot of listeners there.
Boo.
We do have a lot of listeners there. Why? No, that's a perfectly valid
You know, before
thing.
Like we
Here come
close
the
on
pencils.
Out, though, I mean, like, you know, I am technically a French citizen, so.
Okay.
So there we go.
Yeah. You just trumped your...
No, this is the European side of the table.
You have to make your appeal.
Side of the table.
You better make your appeal to the French people, then.
I can't. I can't even say my own last name. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, give us your best out, then.
Hunnis are a class of demons in the Rig Veda. You know, the Indian Sanskrit hymns.
Oh, shit!
My penis.
JJ just got served.
I did?
Okay.
Play with your Mario game. I had a big Rames as a big Tames. Cause Mario might be super, but I'm super duper with a big tuper. Cause no one's gonna hit it like me, cause Mario has a big C. But I got the A plus on that test because it's a big mess. Mario might be a Superman, but I'm gonna have a big tan. He might have went to the past, to the future, but I'm gonna make it. New game had a neutral. Man, Mario can't play like the T-dubs on the May. Man, you wanna hit it down with a big town? Man, he can't be like a big brown. My boy Emo, he has a Simo. And Seth and Emo, once they get together, they're gonna be the team of the meme. You see, my boy Seth, he can rap like the Meth. That's on the test. Man, you can't even hit it with a big net. Man, you can't beat him.